If you didn't listen to last night's Rant EM Radio, you missed this.
Different name and reveal to the world who I really am. So find me at the end of the night, okay?
It's no secret to me. How is that? How is that a cliffhanger? I know who you really are. I've seen you without your mask.
No,
huh?
You're not supposed to know that.
I know what you look like without your mask on. Hell, Lee saw you without your mask on, and you were holding a soda.
Keep bringing up that soda.
Anyway. Let's go around the room, see what's going on in everybody's personal lives. I apologize to anybody who believed that it was real. You know, Rage. I assume Rage was the only one. But
because he's unseasoned. That's why he's known as the Young Buck around here, because he doesn't know any better.
I know, right? Anyways, what's going on in everybody's personal lives? Let's start with Tony C. How was your week?
It was a great week. You know, can I tell the story?
Sure, go ahead.
It was a great week, you know. Then I went into work into the offices this morning.
Oh, my God.
And then I get an alert on my phone. So I get a Facebook alert, might I add. So I look, and I look at my phone, and I see that the nerve and audacity of the Turnbuckle Throwback, Dave Megapowers, and Phil, more so Dave, they're doing a special next week on Hulk Hogan's losses in wrestling. Now, you talking about getting my blood boiling.
Yeah, everything you said. They're doing what now?
They're doing a show on the losses of Hulk Hogan.
Oh, okay.
Out of everybody they can choose, Megapowers likes to grind my gears about Hogan. Okay.
Somebody explain this to me. What? About when he started off, he was supposed to be 7 feet tall, 300 pounds. Then all of a sudden, he started shrinking in size.
He's 6'7". But that's beyond the point, Surfer. You know, on this network, it's a couple things you don't do. You don't spit in the wind. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't talk about Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Okay? So, Megapowers, if you're listening, if you're within the sound of my voice.
Surfer did more than tug on Superman's cape. He actually tried to put it off.
It's on, my friend.
He lost control and flew backwards.
It is on like a pot of neck bones, okay? And I'm coming for you. And the British Bulldogs can go down where?
Down there. Tony C, now, here's the thing.
Don't you give up on your childhood heroes, man.
Now,
it's not even about that.
You know what? I'm going to take this call for the sake of taking the call. This is Phil calling in. Turnbuckle Throwback's own Phil Rea.
I heard my podcast being slandered on the air, and I had to call in. What's going on, Phil?
No. It's not even about it. It has nothing to do with Phil. He's on the outside. He's like a manager.
He's on the outside looking in.
Yes, exactly.
He's like DiBiase.
His sidekick, his Marty Jannetty, if you will.
Oh no! He told Megapowers Marty Jannetty.
I mean, man. I could have called him Vince, Virgil.
Oh, you know, Marty Jannetty should go into the Hall of Fame just for being the Marty Jannetty.
But it's not even about all of that. It's about the simple fact that he talked his co-host into doing the show. Because this is personal now. I'm going in my vault, and I'm going to look at every British Bulldog match. I'm going to run David Boy Smith's name in the ground. The one that's still alive, I'm going to get him too. He's going to learn.
I'm going to give the rant a bit of, how do I say this? an insight on how Dave and I do show prep, all right? For the most part, we agree on a lot of things in terms of show content, what we're putting on, what we're talking about, if we're taking calls or not, that kind of thing. What happens is, most of the time, the only time I really put the kibosh on, so I tried to put the kibosh on Virgil. I thought Virgil was, I gave an hour too much to Virgil. But, you know, everybody else.
A minute too much, if you ask me.
A minute too much? What are you talking about, you buffoon?
I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
There's.
But here's the thing, too. I give Dave a lot of leeway because Dave is a very creative cat behind the scenes, and he's a good dude. So I didn't mean to offend you, Mr. Tony C. I'm just, Dave likes to, you know, as they say, stir the pot.
Two men and a man leaves.
You know,
No. It wasn't your idea.
Wait a minute.
Wait a second. Phil, stop apologizing to this buffoon here.
It's Davey Boysmith. It's Davey Boysmith's number one lackey. Okay. You decided to call it the mic show.
Well, if it isn't the Black Brutus Beefcake on the line.
I've been called a lot of things. If you're going to call me a black something, at least call me the Black Disciple, okay? I'm going to be Black Disciple, the Black Brutus Beefcake, okay? Let me explain something to you right now. You don't call this show, okay, and run the co-hosts down, okay? That's why Shawn Michaels beat Davey Boy Smith for the European title. You know why? Because he sucks. Okay?
That's disrespectful.
Davey Boy Smith is the only white man I know that had braids. Stevie Wonder braids. He had Stevie Wonder braids. He's a white guy.
And you're the now, only black dude with the crayon tan and the fake beard, too?
and don't forget my Scully that I wear with my jeans and my flannel shirt. Okay, don't forget those. Okay.
So, oh wait a minute.
You have the nerve and audacity to put down the man that made wrestling what it is, that helped make it what it is. Do you understand that, my friend?
The man that got completely no-sold at the WrestleMania 30 press conference today?
That's true.
That's fine. That's fine.
For the audience to react to him?
He's had his day in the sun.
So let's clear the air here, okay?
Oh, it's not going to be cool, AA.
Well, at least
just a start.
At least let's turn on a broken air conditioner and make an attempt, okay?
I said get the table, glass, and chairs out and just go, and y'all go at it. I'll ref this.
No, so here we've got Tony C, who's deeply offended by Dave and his
show topic.
Please call me the big man.
The mega powers. He's deeply offended by Mega Powers and his
Mega Genetti. He's gotta change his name.
His show topic.
Break Brutus Black Cakes.
And Dave, what did you post?
No, can't.
And Mega Powers, what did you post in the chat room?
I said that. What did I say? I said Tony C totally believed that you guys are being bought out because he's that simple-minded that he would think.
No, that's rage. I would never do.
You know,
first of all,
what are you calling like from a payphone across the street from Hogan's Beach or something? You hanging around?
I'm calling from the dog, Davey Boy Smith's doghouse.
The man is dead.
Well,
there is
a
dog.
I'm sorry.
It's just a great.
I'm sorry.
This is why we can't have nice things, man. We're here a month and we're starting.
I'm sorry.
This is why these programs are so special to me, and I'm sure a lot of hateful things will be said over the course of the 16 hours of programming that'll air this weekend.
But yeah, you got a very special co-host, Tony C.
I heard the Dynamite Kid and Jeff Hardy are forming a tag team called the High Flyers.
That was
now. Leave, John. You're gonna leave Hogan alone, okay?
Leave Hogan alone.
Leave Hogan alone.
Would you want to
bother him? He's begging for that attention. Like he was begging at that press conference today. He's like, please, please.
He won't reveal.
30 years ago.
We're gonna print that on a T-shirt. Leave Hogan alone. You know.
He won't reveal his top wrestler. So I only have Virgil and the Bulldogs to go on. Whatever the heck they whatever they won, but okay. But
you can't even make fun of the Bulldogs properly because he knows they're a talented team. They've always been, and people.
No, because one of their members is dead, and the other one is, you know, real bad in bad shape. And that would be in bad taste, man.
Because he gave his body for this great American sport that we all enjoy.
So Jeff, so Rage, you hear that? That's what Jeff Hardy has to look forward to. Okay. What's the guy's name? Dynamite Kid. He gave his body.
So you don't even remember the guy's name, and you're trying to make fun of him.
That's how irrelevant he is now.
Big meanie, you know, Tony C.
That's how relevant he is to me. Now, who's your number one, Dave? You don't have to wait to your show. You can put it on our show.
Wait, I'm going to make you sweat. You're going to wait.
Oh, no, you're not going to make me sweat.
Listen to my show.
You have the nerve and the audacity to call in here. Okay, the Outsiders are way better tag teams than the Bulldogs. The Bromance is better. The Hardy Boys are better. Who else?
Any Outsiders matches? Come on.
Nobody barely remembers the Bulldogs matches. Now, come on now.
Yeah, come on. The Hart Foundation, WrestleMania 3.
Oh, come on. The Hart Foundation.
Islanders.
That sounds like a freaking place you give donations to. Come on now.
We just did the WrestleMania 2 show with the Dream Team. This Beefcake was in that match.
Listen, Dave. Listen, the Bulldogs are no longer relevant, okay? You can't walk around here and try to keep them relevant, okay? Virgil is not relevant. He was in the NWO for holding belts. That's all he would do, hold the belt. Hogan would come out, do the good story, hand the belt right to him.
Hey, Virgil was part of your boys, the NWO. You talking bad about Hogan?
Virgil, the only reason he got in was affirmative action. We had to have a brother.
Affirmative action.
So he got in on affirmative action.
Well,
Who had Tony C finish his show, please? That
we're
hijacking.
Well, here's the thing. I think we should. Wait a minute. We should end with this, okay? That it seems that the air can never be cleared. So there's only one true way to do this, and that is in the future. Tony C and Mega Powers will have a sit down, and we will do this. A la, you know, Bob Schieffer and the presidential debate style. And we'll do 2-minute questions. You answer the first one. Tony C will answer the second one. And we'll go back and forth until we can see who is really the winner here.
You know, so I had a conversation.
This thing's not going to be a sit-down. This is going to be a stand-up because I'm standing up for myself.
Well, we'll make sure there's a podium there too.
Listen, I had a conversation with Double A a couple of days ago, and he dropped the word family like 7 times in this conversation. No matter what the conversation was, I'm just letting you guys know it's family. So now I know families have spats, families have disagreements, families have beefs and gripes and whatnot. We're gonna work this out.
I mean, for God's sakes, we were planning a nice family dinner on Sunday. And now there's going to be tension.
I loan Mega Powers $20.
See, here's the thing.
And then got paid. Mega
Powers is going to pour milk at Tony C's lemonade. Tony C's going to throw the dinner rolls at him, and it's just going to end in a big old fight.
In a melee.
It's going to end in a melee with me yelling. Phil, I don't know. Phil might start breakdown and crying because he just can't handle, you know, that the family's breaking up this way. And it's okay, Phil. We can all cry. And
you want to bring out the Italian side, Phil? Hey, Dave. Hollywood this, pal. You are a no good son of a bitch. And I don't bring that out too often. And that's how you know it's on.
Tooth, hook nose, bozo. That's what I'm calling you, pal.
And for those of you,
boy, you're not even my pal anymore.
Where's the love? Come on now.
I don't need to be your pal right now. It's a beast. It's heat. It's not a word. It's a shoot.
And for those of you that are first time listeners, for those of you that are first time listeners to this program, you know. Why is Tony C so adamant about Hulk Hogan? It's because of this comment he made some time ago.
Hollywood Hogan would never job out the man. He'll slap the shit out of man.
No. He better get up.
So,
now, that's how serious it is, Mega Powers. So,
just hug it out.
It's not over after the night. It's not over.
With the Tongan death grip for making that comment. Bottom.
You better get the Yeti, the Ultimate Solution, Z Gangster, Lex Luger's Black Glove. You're going to need all that.
Oh, don't worry. I want your Yokozuna from '93.
The only
thing black on Lex Luger was his soul, all right, giving Luger all them drugs. Don't get me caught on Lex Luger.
Oh, man.
Hey, he did listen
he had
to
the black glove.
All those drugs.
He wore the black glove at Uncensored. Phil, you remember that?
Yeah, but all those matches were unsanctioned, so they don't count.
You know what, Dave? You know what? But he can't. You're right, Phil. See, you know, he tries to rain on Hollywood Hulk Hogan parade. You know, he started off. I used to be a Hulk maniac. You know what? I'm starting to believe you never admired Hulk Hogan. You are a savage guy, aren't you? That's what it is. You are. Sounds like you were either savage or a Flair guy.
Well, see,
what's wrong with that? Those were great, talented stars.
You savage and Flair and Sting guys. You have this hidden animosity against Hollywood. Hey! That's when they're attacking.
You're a bozo.
That's
and
when
a
they're attacking. They're better than the Bulldogs. Luger and Sting are better than the Bulldogs.
Well,
and they're more. They won the titles more than them too.
I think we're gonna have to save this for a future date because I think there's some serious feelings hurt here.
Tony C's. That's it.
I don't think.
Fine. I'm perfectly. Fine.
I don't think the fences can be mended right now.
So you can get to my show tomorrow, and you can hear Tony C cry all you want.
This is going
to. I'm not going to cry.
This is going to require group therapy. And now with my offer from WWE, I can afford the group therapy. And yes.
The chat room is in my favor too. So what do you got, Tony?
Hey, Dave. You and whoever's in your corner. Can go ahead and choke on that slap nuts.
That's a Jeff Jarrett line.
I thought about my favorite wrestler, the man who's in my corner. What are you doing making a Jeff Jarrett reference? Are you kidding
me? I can pull any quote out I want. Who's your wrestler?
Don't the Intercontinental title on the Action Zone? Come on.
who's your guy? Go. Let's go.
You'll find out tomorrow night, Punk. You jock ass.
Okay, Eric. You Eric Bischoff wannabe.
Oh my God! What that was? He just.
Listen,
he,
gentlemen, I'm not gonna.
He served you, Tony.
Anymore. You know, I know Tony C's got some plenty of tears all night long for you, gentlemen. It's gonna go into tomorrow.
Oh
night.
No! So wait till tomorrow night when the great Mega Powers number one wrestler is revealed.
Tomorrow night.
Somebody like.
Tomorrow yeah. night, Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil and Mega Powers. They will that will continue pouring gas on the fire. Well, at least Dave will. And yeah, so we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Talk about WrestleMania 1, too.
And WrestleMania 1. So there you go. Hey, look, Tony C. Hogan didn't lose that one.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They're dedicating a whole show. What kind of low blow is that? that is the ultimate low blow. Out of every wrestler you can dedicate a show like that to, you want to choose Hollywood Hulk Hogan, the one that helped make wrestling what it is. You could have did Flair. You could have did Steam.
In their defense.
This is personal. This is personal, Dole.
In their defense. Wait a minute, Tony C. In their defense, they couldn't. You know, with the amount of matches, with the amount of losses that this man has suffered, they really could not narrow down, like a top 10 list for like the top 10 losses for like Bastion Booger. So they decided on Hogan because Hogan was the next relevant choice.
Well, they could have did Flair. They could have did Sting. You could have did Luger. You could have did Ron Simmons. You could have did the Bulldogs, his favorite tag team. But he chose my guy. So
well,
that's why when I find out finally who your guy is,
it's personal, Tony.
It's going to be on.
Tony C.
You know, it wasn't my choice to do the show. It was a group effort. I wasn't the only one.
Oh, I'm not going to let you throw anybody else on that grenade.
Say everything about you, don't you?
It's.
Tell the truth. You're trying to make him cry.
It's Tony C.
He tried.
It's not
Tony C. Are you going to cry?
Nope. I'm just going to go at you with all my might. Me and team Hollywood.
Cry all night long. Plot your.
Oh
routine.
No! Did I cry when Lee did it? No. And I'm not going to let Megapause try to break me down either. I know how to fight fire with fire.
Well,
called slant. Fireballs, I should say.
Well, the shots have been fired. Tomorrow night, WrestleMania 1.
Oh,
Turnbuckle throwbacks tomorrow night live. WrestleMania 1. They will praise Hogan probably because of his victory over Piper and Orndorff.
I say choose love and peace.
And
no, I got to show Megapiles where the power lies.
And we'll see how this extends through the weekend.
Mega genetic.
And we'll see how it extends.
Brutus Blackhead.
Hashtag Mega genetic. Hashtag Brutus Blackhead. I'll take that.
And then the following week when this show airs, so we'll see. All right, well, Mega Powers, Phil, I know you tried to save face, but it seems that there's just too much animosity here.
Yes, tomorrow. I hope everybody can join us tomorrow night. You know we love having Tony on. I know you guys.
Speak for yourself, Phil.
Come on, peace in the Middle East.
Okay.
Peace in the Middle East.
You know,
that's why I know whose idea it was for this show. It's okay, Phil. It's okay. I'll be listening. I'm like Hollywood Hogan. I'll show up in the last segment of the show and get the highest rating, baby. So I'll be listening.
After that press conference today.
Oh, my God.
I said Hollywood Hogan.
Well, listen, right, guys. Have a great night.
Megapowers, go try to conjure up and
just
think of your number one wrestler, okay?
Now, just walk away.
Hey, guys. Listen.
Don't put on that dark road. Walk away, Tony.
Go ahead,
I'm going to be the better man and wish you all, except for Tony, a great night and an April Fool's Day to that fool, the pukester, Tony C.
Hollywood this pal. One more time.
All right, guys.
You guys.
We'll talk to you later. Later, man.
One day we'll have nice things.
This show is in a dark place already.
Oh, it's a place. All right, Phil.
Oh, I've been working this up all day long. I've been spewing since 9 this morning.
Oh, man.
Once you let that darkness in, man, you stay dark forever, man. Your heart just blackens. You don't want to go down that road, Tony C. I'm trying to save you, brother.
Normally I'm a Hulkamania, but now you turn me into Hollywood. I got to get dirty.
You're starting to turn into rage.
Well,
just let it go.
Oh no, I'll never get that bad.
Walk away.
Well, all right, let's go down to Surfer. Surfer, how was your week? I know that
compared to what we just went through, my week ain't shit.
The Taskmaster had an idea to go to the Urals there, but Benoit fighting back.
This is the best I've ever seen when you talk about street fighting falls anywhere right here.
With a right there with security.
Wow. I tell you,
there's a lady. There's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's john right here in Baltimore. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
She just stopped off. They got to get some relief here, baby.
Where's it going? It's only down the laundry chute now.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. When you're done with our show, head over to the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, home to many great shows covering a variety of topics, including pop culture, heavy metal, music, sports, television, movies, and, of course, wrestling. Shows like The Fallen Angels, Stickman and Apex Radio, The Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredible's Pro Wrestling 101, The Midnight Jury, Two and a Half Wrestlers, of course, us, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, The Neckbreaker Podcast, and, of course, The Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com right now. Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Hey, monkeys. Check out The Bloke Show. It's a weekly podcast with dedicated topics for fans of cartoons, movies, comics, wrestling, music, and plenty more. Join them for a laugh at the world each week with the news you won't see on TV, from Florida to France to Fremantle. Where the hell is Fremantle? Rotating wrap-ups with top five picks and pans, and everybody's favorite, Marry, Fucking, Kill, or Fuck, Marry, Kill. The Bloke Show is a friend of the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast and a member of the Atomic Geeks Network. Find them at theblokeshow.libsyn.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and your mom's basement. Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, inviting you to go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com to check out my boys, the Shining Wizards. They're four tools from Jersey who talk about the good, the bad, the ups and downs of professional wrestling. And, of course, they always piss somebody off in the process. But they're always going to make you laugh. Check them out exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Federation presents WrestleMania. Santana off the ropes. Oh, hardcore arm! I don't think he'll last.
SD Jones, I want you to think about that big overhead, and I want you to think about a foul trap.
David San Martino going outside. Johnny Valley picks him up. Body slam. Sensational victory for Ricky Steamboat.
Valentine goes to the eyes.
Look at that.
He got away with it.
Santana telling the referee. Reversal of the decision. The dog is the winner.
I predict I got the next World Tag Team Champions right here.
Look at this. Andre picks him up. He's down. 15 pounds worth of body slam.
Lanny Carr, you better watch out, because these are powerful words, because this is a powerful woman.
Victor, I believe, is the new champion. Nose to nose in the center of the ring.
The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment. Sports entertainment. Sports
entertainment. The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Player, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
We are 4 days away from the Showcase of the Immortals. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and of course, all you lowlifes out there, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious hosting impact player, Mr. Phil Ray, and I am always joined by...
The Measure of a Man, the Mega Powers.
Hello, shit stirrer. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? Whoa, wait a second, shit stirrer. So, yesterday was an April Fool's joke. It's not real. We're not doing a Hogan losing show. I'm just having fun at the expense of Tony C.
If you guys didn't listen to the rant last night, the best part of the whole thing is that I didn't know. Again, I commute from where I work, and by the time I got to my bus stop, I was about 20 minutes into the rant, and I was coming from underground, so I activated. As soon as I activated, Double A's doing his round table, and he gets to Tony C, and Tony C's like, well, I had a great week until... And then, and then of course, now I have to call in and try to put a smooth on it. And lo and behold, Dave is also listening to the show, which I didn't expect Dave to be listening. And thank God he was, because it made for some excellent radio, about 25 minutes worth. And Dave was like, you have to get this on. So, of course.
Well, you know, we had a fun night last night. You know, I know Tony C's got his blood boiling. We're going to open up the suicide hotline for him later on tonight so he can call in and we'll talk him off the ledge. But, you know, it's all a joke. That's all it was. April Fool's.
So from the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live on the Rant, rantdmradio.com. We are a Shining Wizards Network production, Geek Life Radio, Buzzsprout, Audio Boo, iTunes, Stitcher, whole bunch of shit. So what's going on? How was your week, David?
My week was pretty good. You know, Tony C kept me in stitches. So I'm having an awesome week.
Yeah, shout out to everybody in the chat room. Harry, our buddy Harry from the UK, is checking in 1:30 in the morning, rocking the monster. I was rocking some monsters today, too, man. I had a long-ass day. So, Harry, welcome to the chat room. Glad to have you on board live, brother. It's awesome. Rage is in there. Tony C, Snake Man's in there. Mr. Rex is in there. Kid Human's in there. If I'm missing people, Slim is in there. I apologize. Tank, unless he's not in the chat room, is not. Normally, Tank is here. He's not here. Maybe he's watching the Mets lose. I'm not sure, but. So you said you had a good week.
Yeah, you know, Harry's rocking my favorite tag team, the British Bulldogs. That's his photo there. That's pretty cool.
Yes, the British Bulldogs.
And we'll get into what me and him talked about earlier today, which I found absolutely strange, but you know, we'll get to that when we get to the Facebook questions.
Yeah, we got some Facebook questions. We don't have a lot of news. We're just going to do a quick wrap up here. Nothing really going on in the world of wrestling, not too much anyway. WrestleMania, the card is about, I guess, finished. I guess they have one more. I guess we'll find out more if during the SmackDown tapings went on last night. I didn't hear anything else. If you hear anything else, what happened in the Oh, there's Tank and Maverick. Oh, big Tommy's in there, too. We got a whole... This is fantastic. All right,
we got a slew of people in there.
That's because people love us, man. It's 9 yeah. o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. It's Wednesday night. It is the Turnbuckle
Strength in numbers.
Strength in numbers. Speaking of strength in numbers, Shining Wizards got Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff tonight. How fucking awesome is that, brother?
Oh, man. I hit up... I know you hit him up with some questions, but I threw a ton of questions at Mr. Wonderful. Hopefully, they'll get answered. And you got to check out the Shining Wizards to hear that interview probably tomorrow.
Yeah, go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There's 9 great shows on there. Now, speaking of shows, let's break down what's going on for the weekend. Big WrestleMania weekend here on The Rant. Now, here's how it's going down. Friday night, April 4th, we have the Surfers Fun Time show at 9 p.m. Surfer normally does What Are You Reading? It's a comic book show. I was on listening to last week. They had a writer on from Image Comics. It was really good. April 5th, they have the Rant Roundtable at 5 p.m. I'm going to try to jump in on that. And then they have a Hall of Fame post show around 12 midnight, because the Hall of Fame will be live on the network at 12 on the WWE Network. So at 12 midnight, we have a post show roundtable about the Hall of Fame ceremony, which should be interesting. Now, here's April 6th. The day of Mania is huge. Will I Am Morgan, Wrestling Call-In Show at noon. Dave and I are jumping on from 2 to 4.
2 to 4?
Yeah, 2 to 4. On Turnbuckle Throwbacks, obviously.
And I'll be in studio.
You will be in studio. I'm hoping to get Chris Espo, hopefully Tank, and whoever else is coming to our WrestleMania party. If you've not answered my invite, you're a douche.
Is Eddie coming with us?
Eddie's supposed to be, so maybe we'll have Eddie and Espo in studio as well. It should be fantastic. And then the rant at 4 o'clock, and then up until Mania, and then the post-Mania show at 11 p.m., and that's going to wrap it up. We have a ass ton of programming, about 16 hours worth.
Oh, my God.
This is fantastic. So, you know, if you're not getting enough on the Shining Wizards Network, head on over to the rant. It's going to be two Suburbans and a hearse, as they say, around the way. We're killing them out there. Killing them, killing them, killing them. Now, speaking of the Hall of Fame, my wife just picked up the Ultimate Warrior DVD for me.
I'm jealous.
A couple of hours ago. Well, it worked out because she works at the bottom inside of a huge mall, and right above her is the Best Buy. So when I realized she was working there, I'm like, listen, you got to go pick up the Warrior thing for me. I'm like, it's out. So why can't we do like normal people and order it on Amazon? Because I don't feel like fucking waiting 4 days for it. I'm going to watch this shit before I go to bed tonight.
Well, hey, shouldn't we be advertising to go to the Wizards site and then using the Amazon link?
Yeah, if you're going to go to the if you're going to order the DVD off Amazon, go to the Shining Wizards Network or go to shiningwizards.com, click on the Amazon link, and it supports us as a network. And it helps us. And we have T-shirts, too, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Sold one or two more this week. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, buy a goddamn shirt, people. Buy two.
Word up. Buy an ass ton. Buy all. Anyway. All right. So that's pretty much it with that. Anything else? Oh, wait. Before we get into the news, I did catch the press conference before my boss put the kibosh on my internet access.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a long story. I don't even want to get
How much
it.
Of the press conference did you get to watch?
I got about 25 minutes in, then I watched the rest of it this morning on my day off.
All right.
That crowd was disgusting.
Yeah, they did not react at all. Well, as Triple H said, you know, most of the crowd there was press. But even the press didn't really care or react.
Exactly. Even the press was like, and like Hogan was like screaming for like people to cheer him. And then,
yeah, it was kind of sad. You know, Tony C's boy was begging. What was that one photo? I think it was Larry put up for the please movement for TNA. Hogan was doing the please movement last night. With that crowd.
The best was when Triple H had to follow him, and that's because I follow Hogan and I get this.
I think, well, for me, I felt the worst was my boy D-Bry had to tell the audience to say yes. That was kind of sad.
Yes, Maverick, all the shows are available on the podcast level. If you have iTunes, I know you do. Just search Rant EM Entertainment and search the Shining Wizards Network. Or you could just type my name in for the show, for this show as well. I'm on like 7 different feeds. I'm trying to follow the chat room here. All right. So let's get into some quick news real quick. Let's play the new song.
Oh, this thing.
Hysterical.
I'm not laughing. Nobody in the chat room is laughing.
I don't care.
I have a better song. I'm going to send it to you sometime this week.
When you actually learn how to do any of this stuff, then you throw programming advice at me, right there, Killer Kowalski? Until then, let your boy run the board, and you just log in like you always do, and we'll have a nice show, okay?
I'm trying to help you out, Phil.
Pastor wants to know, oh gosh. What was that? That was an old Howard Stern clip they used to play. It was Crackhead Bob and Robin Givens. They used to sing the, you know, like these before they she did the news, like we do.
ironically, and they would play a little song. I think it's hysterical. But, again, I'm the only one, and I don't give a shit. All right, your updated Mania card is... Here's your updated Mania card. Orton versus Batista versus to be determined. That's obviously...
Is that going on the pre-show?
No. I'll tell you what's on the pre-show in a second.
All right.
Daniel Bryan versus Triple H for that last spot.
Now, that's going on the pre-show?
No, it's not going on the pre-show.
Oh.
Taker versus Brock, Cena versus Bray Wyatt. Here's your pre-show, which pisses me the fuck off. Again with the pre-show title matches. Fatal 4-Way for the World Tag Team Championship. Usos versus Rybacksel versus Los Matadores versus the Real Americans. Why? Why? This is two titles now not being defended on WrestleMania. Two. Not one, but two. Now, the IC title, because Big E is in the fucking Battle Royal, right?
And the World Tag Team Championship
is not being defended on fucking the Showcase of Immortals. I don't understand the logic in that. I don't understand the logic in that. All right.
I'm kind of like peeved that they're just trying to throw as many guys onto the card as possible. Well, I'm sure the Fatal 4-Way, that'll be exciting. The Battle Royal will be exciting. But I want to see a lot of those guys just in matches, whether it's a regular straight-up one-on-one singles match or a tag team match. You know, stuff like that. What happened to, you know, having a normal card? And not throwing everybody under the fucking sun.
You know, and all right, so moving right along, Shield versus the Kane, Shield versus Kane and the Outlaws. I mentioned the Battle Royal with no IC title, and all the divas on the roster versus AJ Lee. Listen, you got eight matches. There's a 2-hour pre-show. Unless something miraculously fantastic happens between now and Friday, which I doubt, this is not looking like your prototypical over-the-top WrestleMania. Now, so, I don't know. Now, we'll talk more about it on Sunday. And I don't want
to... Oh, we'll have plenty of words on Sunday from 2 to 4.
Well, yeah, you know what, though? I'm going to jump in on some of the shows while I'm here before we start entertaining guests and stuff like that before they arrive. Here's my deal. I don't understand the logic in giving us a 4-hour show, 2-hour pre-show, and you have one of the matches on a pre-show, and now you have, technically you have seven matches.
Yeah.
Which means the Battle Royal, the Brock Taker match, and the World Heavyweight Championship match all have to supersede at least 30 minutes. At least. To make it not only relevant, but to fit in with the time.
Now, are there any like musical performances or anything like that going on?
I did not hear anything. Unless the chat room can help us out with that, I'm not sure.
Because I hope Kid Rock ain't playing that shitty Celebrate song.
Dude, at this point, I don't give a shit if it's fucking Kid Rock or Shalimar. I just want... I mean, no, Dave, you gotta fill time.
Yeah.
You gotta fill time. I don't understand the logic in that. I really don't get it. Before I forget, I want to apologize to Chunky Larry and the Geeks of the Industry Cats. I was supposed to jump on with them for some roundtable last Friday, and I had a family issue, and I was jammed up at work also. So by the time I got home and took care of the family nonsense, it was way like right before 11 o'clock at night, and they're on a time difference for 3 hours. So I apologized to Larry 17 times, and he was cool with it. But I just want to apologize again. I'll plug their show later on before I forget. And I didn't write it down because I couldn't do a lot of show prep at work. Because of internet restrictions.
Plus, it's work, Phil. You should be working at work.
Yeah, I know. But you know what?
I work at work.
Do you really?
I do.
You said last week you said you were bored at work and you were doing show prep. Now you're okay. Now you're not working anymore.
Well, I was listening to podcasts while I work, so okay. I'm working while I'm working, but I'm also having fun somewhat.
All right. So,
believe me.
I do believe you, sir. I'm not really disappointed. I think the people who were on the card are going to perform well. Randy Orton can go.
He was one of the few guys who did well, in my opinion, at the press conference. Who didn't give a shit about how the crowd was acting and just stayed in character and did his thing.
Yeah, and Dave Bautista, not only did he catch his wind, Dave Bautista, but he actually has been impressing me the last couple weeks.
Well, you know, it takes a Dave to know a Dave, and he's been doing pretty well, in my opinion. And he stopped giving a shit at the press conference, and he just said whatever, and I like that. I like it a lot.
I just, that crowd, I mean, I saw Bill Apter in the front. I'm like, come on, Bill. Yep. Now, Bill, I thought hopefully Bill's going to get up and start rounding the crowd up like he did for us at the WPW show.
Well, they let fans into the thing as well. Yeah, I don't know what the deal was.
I saw that. Some of the guys dressed up as the Wyatt family. Mm. You know, so here's the deal. Again, I hope they do something that is relevant in terms of this fucking card. I hope they do something over the top exciting. Because, again, even though I'm not paying $70 for it like I normally do, they're going to have to pique my interest.
I'm sure there's going to be some sort of swerves. You know, if there's going to be a swerve, it's going to be happening at Mania.
I'm still waiting on CM Punk. Now, I'm convinced. I feel CM Punk come back and ruining it for either Daniel Bryan or Triple H.
Well, all the chants have gone down, as far as I know. But I haven't been able to catch full episodes of Raw or anything. Have they been still going throughout the crowds or what?
Yeah, no, not really. There was a rumor last week that AJ Lee was rocking an engagement ring, speaking to CM Punk. I really don't care what they do in their personal lives. I just want the storylines to be relevant and to be entertaining. I can, you know, people get too wrapped up in their lives and, you know, and I'm watching this Total Divas again, and it's honestly, dude, it's not even like reality TV. It's super staged. Like, you can tell that. Like, I know the relationships with the Bellas and Bryan and Cena are legit, but there's that level of acting that they all have to put on for the show.
Yeah, and it's just phony.
Yeah, it's real, like, it's in-your-face phony, you know? And I was like, this is bad news. Like, I'm glad I didn't invest from the day one. Hold on, let's get another, somebody's calling in already.
Oh, somebody's calling.
Yeah, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, good evening. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, good evening.
Now, you know what really just grinds my gears? It's the fact that I've also said, I've posted on the group page that I feel it. I believe that CM Punk is going to be at WrestleMania, right? And everybody and their grandma, including AA, buried me. So, how is it? First of all, it's nice to know I'm not the only one with that gut feeling. So, thank you, Phil. Thank you for that. But, have you been getting any shit like I have for making that, just that assumption?
Yeah, I got a little bit. I mean, but it's, again, it's an opinion. Again, an opinion's like assholes. You know, we all have them. Some of them stink. And maybe,
hey, some of them are bleached too. So
yeah, the porn stars bleached them. That's terrible. Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine bleaching your taint? That's awful.
Gotta keep it clean, man.
But listen, you know what, Rage? I don't know. Honestly, he's under contract till July. All right. I don't think, and they haven't mentioned him publicly on television maybe once since he walked away. So, like,
yeah.
Again, they didn't pull...
Like, I believe if he's coming, like, I believe, not mean to cut you off, but I believe if he's coming at Mania, I think they're going to try and keep this as quiet as they possibly can. Like, if they, like, secretly, like, signed him to a new contract, or like, I'm thinking, like, they're going to keep this as quiet as they can. So, like, we would get, like, the total surprise of it, but I mean, that's just me. I mean, I didn't base anything on any news report, or it was just a gut feeling.
Intuition, your masculine intuition was kicking in.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm basing it on A, they haven't mentioned him on TV, except for once. B, they haven't pulled any of his stuff off the website or on the network, because, you know, that would be like they rearranged the storyline. Bringing in Batista, and I think Punk knew that, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So it's not like fucking rocket science here, you know. But in the same breath, I mean, it would make perfect sense for CM Punk, who now has a 2-month, I guess a vacation or a break, He's in the studio with his homeboys doing music. He's doing MMA stuff. He's banging the diva. He's got a nice little project going on there. But in the same breath, it'd be a perfect opportunity for him to come back and either screw over Triple H or Daniel Bryan. And honestly, you know what, dude? And I'm not for the sake of running in and making an appearance, but it'd be so opportune. It'd be so perfect. And now listen, honestly, I would screw Daniel Bryan till fucking SummerSlam. And dude, that's how I feel. And I told Dave this too.
And make him win at SummerSlam.
Exactly. Make it so, think about it. He got screwed over a year ago. A year ago at that point.
See,
now.
I would go with that. I would 100% go with that. If CM Punk comes back and just screws Daniel Bryan, I myself, people want to call me a Daniel Bryan mark, but I would even go for that. If you're going to sit here and tell me that Daniel Bryan is going to lose the world champion, is going to basically lose a championship shot due to a part-timer, a boring ass wrestler and a shitty wrestler. I'm not gonna flow with that. Like, that would legitimately have me fucking going crazy.
Like, I don't think they're gonna keep the belt off Bryan until SummerSlam. Me just being an older pissed off fan would be.
Wouldn't the point be for D-Bry to win at WrestleMania and have that 70,000 to 80,000 fans chanting yes in unison?
They're gonna chant regardless.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what though? They're gonna chant whether he
as win- part of the victory, not just him coming in the ring.
No,
you know?
You're right.
That's why I think. Oh, go ahead.
They're gonna chant regardless, and he's so over right now. Screw him. Honestly, screw him. He's screwing until fucking August. He's not going anywhere. And if these marks, I hate using that word too, because I guess I'm a mark too. But
fans, let's say fans.
If these fans are so into this, they'll follow him until the cows come home. Be like the passion of Christ. It's Easter season. Let him fucking roll with it, man. Like, let him go with it. You know, it'd make perfect sense. And now Punk would be like either the corporate schmuck. Or he'd be the renegade that he's been.
The bigger douchebag.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Now let me ask you this. Are you basing this whole thing if CM Punk comes back, and if so, how would you react if basically he lost to either Triple H, Randy Orton, or Batista?
You mean if he screws Triple H?
No, like if CM Punk is not there at all.
Okay, if Punk not there, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, how would you what would your reaction be?
I'd be disappointed, but like Dave said, and then the alternative would be for him to win, and then win the whole thing. Now you can even go further than that, and let's say Punk does screw Triple H. And Daniel Bryan still doesn't win. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could still... Listen, there's so many ways to keep Daniel Bryan running for this belt. If the belt is a top prize, if that's what they want him to do, at Mania, they'll give it to him. They didn't bring Batista back for him to job. So, I could see Batista winning the belt, too. There's so many intangibles. You know
but I can't. I can't honestly.
This is really truly a match where no one knows, where no one can predict an outcome.
It's fun. I'm sorry, Dave. What were you gonna say?
But I can't honestly see CM Punk returning to screw over Daniel Bryan.
Well, how about
just because since he's left, you know, the whole point of this all was that he's been burnt out. He's tired of the direction that he's been going in. So it's very. Still very anti-authority, so why would he join the authority at WrestleMania as a return? And why would he screw over Daniel Bryan? What would he get out of that?
They would write something. It would be cool. in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like the Triple H can give him like the whole speech on Raw the next night. Like, I knew, you know, I knew you had it in you, and you know, I knew you'd be a company guy and take one for the team. And you know, you know, we're gonna make you the face of the company, not Randy Orton. Now Orton's a face again, or a tweener, whatever you want to call it. But, and you know, this is all gonna fall back on the night after. And like Rage said, you don't really don't know what's gonna happen. And I like that. It's not that predictable. But you didn't bring Batista back not to win anything. All right? Unless they brought Batista back to put the younger guys over and he took a big payday, you know, in between movies. Whatever. God bless. He actually caught wind and when he first came back, he looked terrible. But the last couple of weeks between his promos and his look, and not splitting his pants, obviously, but he looked and, you know, he looked good. And, again, these matches are going to have to come correct. You have, you know, 8 matches, 7 on the main show. Something's going to have to give. These guys are going to have to go all out for, you know, 80,000 people and for the millions and millions and millions and millions of people watching now on the network.
And I believe that this WrestleMania will live up to, exceed everybody's expectations. Because I know everybody's got a lot of low expectations for WrestleMania. WrestleMania tends to come with low expectations. I think this one will actually exceed people's expectations.
Well, wrestling fans in general lately have low expectations of the product in a whole. And that pisses me off. And I've been asking people for weeks and months on end to step away from it. Not step away. I mean, step back and look at a bigger picture. It's not catering to an older fan anymore. It's catering to the 7-year-old that I have in the other room and the kids and the nonsense and social media is now taking precedent, and stuff doesn't flow like it's supposed to. Stories don't get told like they used to, and that's why I do an old-school podcast. You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't dedicate an entire show to the current shit, because it's not that much fun anymore. You know what I'm saying? Even though I watch it every week and I critique it and I love it, it's not worth my time to beat up on it for 2 hours. I'll just beat up on it for an hour and then talk about the stuff that really matters.
Well, that's what I've been, you know, that's what I've been saying, you know, week in and week out. You know, every generation is going to have their gripes with the current, you know, generation, and you know, the cycle just keeps repeating itself.
All right, Young Buck. Anything else before we cut you off and do the news?
Speaking of Punk's main squeeze, anybody get the feeling that they're trying to run her out the door?
No, you know what, dude? If she's had the belt as long as he had his belt, if they're an item. And let's be honest, the whole burying thing is at the Cena thing, right? You guys are all convinced that every time Cena goes to town with somebody, they fucking bury him.
Goddamn right.
You know what? AJ Lee's had that belt for a long time. So it's she's going to lose. It's just a matter of who's going to do it. Is it going to be a Bella? Is it going to be Tamina Snuka? Which that's my pick. Is it going to be, what's her face, Natalia? You know, it doesn't matter. I hate women's wrestling anyway.
I'm praying for, you know what, anybody but a Bella. Fuck it. Anybody but a Bella. As much
maybe,
as I like.
Maybe Sting will interfere or something.
Sting.
Zeus.
I heard Sting is already there. Speaking of Sting, I heard he's already in New Orleans. Double A was talking about it last night. They're thinking about putting him in a match with Taker. Again, though, and Surfer had a good point, too. He was like, how are you going to plug this for a year? None of these guys. Sting's not relevant enough, A. He doesn't have a hit.
Sting is totally relevant.
Yeah, he's relevant to you and I, but he's not relevant to the
point. Not to the 7-year-old.
He doesn't have a hit. Well, to my 7-year-old, because he's a smart kid, thank God. I smarten that boy.
You
up
teach him right.
From Jump Street, you ain't even lying. But here's the deal, though. you know, you're going to have to, Dave, they don't have a history, those two. So you're going to have to promote that to the moon, dude. You know what
Listen,
I'm saying?
Listen, when comes out on Raw or Mania, whichever, the fans will react. Trust me on this.
But I still think they should do the year-long promotion for it. Even for us, like, well, for me, if you want to call me an old school wrestling fan, I don't know if you want to call me that. But I've been wanting to see a Sting Taker match going on 4 years now.
Well,
so,
wait a second, Rage. You got to say Sting the right way.
Yeah, Sting.
Oh, I got to say. Oh,
you gotta do it like you got to do it like the Black Scorpion. That's the rule here. God. You got to call Sting like the Black Scorpion. You got to call Tito Santana Chico. That's
and so and that way too. So.
Is he out of jail yet, Tiny Lister?
Well, the guy murdered somebody, right?
No, he went to jail for mortgage fraud. Like he was like.
Well, wait a second. In the movie, he was a murderer.
No, speaking of no holds barred, I'm so fucking pissed off. I bought the regular copy last year. Now they're putting it out on Blu-ray. Those bastards.
Listen, no holds barred was like $10. You're probably gonna spend another $15 for this one, and it comes with the matches.
That's what I wanted, dude. I was hoping they would do that. They never fucking did. They rape you, man. It's crack prices, man.
Well, when I raise funds, I'm going to get that Warrior Blu-ray. I'm going to get the No Holds Barred Blu-ray, and I want to get the Mid-South Blu-ray. I need to get the Mid-South
Blu-ray is great. All right, Rage, we'll let you go, brother. Hold it down in the chat room for
us.
Right?
And tell him and Tony and Mr. Hollywood Black Cake can go fuck himself.
Hashtag Brutus Black Cakes. Tony's going to be calling in later. All right, Rage, keep it tight, one brother. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, he is. So fuck him. All right, peace,
later, brother. Love me some
good
Rage.
Good man.
Love me some Rage. All right, Mega Powers. Let's see what we got going on. Let's take a 2 minute break.
And what about those Facebook questions?
You want to do Facebook? Then we'll go to a break. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do Facebook questions for it. I was gonna come back for it, but you know
we got a lot of them, so
we do. All right, hold on a second here. All right, questions. We have your questions. Eric wants to know, if Tully Blanchard didn't fail the drug test, do you think him and AA would have been a successful tag team in the 90s compared to their first run in NWA? I ask because at the same time, WCW is trying to rekindle the fire by bringing back teams such as the Rock and Roll Express, the Fantastic, but weren't as successful due to the rise of monster teams like the Steiners, Doom, and Skyscrapers. It's funny Eric says that because we talked about that a few months ago.
Yeah, we did.
That if Tully Blanchard did not fail his drug test in Philadelphia, they would have been a prominent tag team.
Well, you know, another thing, too, that, you know, I was thinking about when I saw this question was I remember reading in Dynamite Kid's book, Pure Dynamite, that they were planning on bringing back the Bulldogs and Dynamites around, late 90, when Brainbusters were still around. And they wanted to have Anderson and Blanchard pile drive Dynamite on the concrete, something like that, to stir up some more controversy. And so they still had plans, you know, for the Brainbusters.
Yeah, I love the Brainbusters.
They're a great team.
On the network, they have a Legends of the Wrestling Roundtable, and they had one on tag teams. I watched it this morning. And JJ was on the panel, and he mentioned Tully and Arn as one of the best tag teams. And even the Andersons before Tully came in, they were Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Ole and Arn. I mean, fantastic. You want to talk about technically sound guys who can cut promos, guys who can brawl and wrestle? That's Anderson and Blanchard. Blanchard was one of the first, and Shawn Michaels said this too, was one of the first cool bad guys.
Yeah.
Again, that's another episode we have to do.
Absolutely.
I still love Axel's name. Axel wants to know, how do you guys like the booking of this year's Mania? Was there anything you might have changed? Any talent you would put on the card wasn't originally? I think we just spoke about this just now. Axel, you know, the only thing I would change is not have anything on the pre-show that involves a title. Anything. I would have a pre-show match. I would make that, you know, honestly, and I guess I'm not going to Divas because I hate women's wrestling, but I would put that fucking Diva match, all the entire roster against AJ, on the pre-show. But again, it's Divas. I think every title should be defended at WrestleMania, not a pre-show, none of that. If I booked anything different, I don't know. Dave, would you book anything different with this?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is, you know, I would have had that Ziggler Big E match.
For the title?
Mania.
Oh, for the title.
Yeah, as opposed to main event. Like, that. I loved that episode of the main event. That was phenomenal. And big Ziggler fan right here. And they should have saved that match for Mania, but, you know, they decided to throw everybody into the fucking Battle Royals.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam's supposed to be making his return to the Battle Royal, too. So that
really, I really don't like the idea of throwing all these people into one match. Like, I remember, what was it? They had the Divas Battle Royal, and you know, Sunny, who I'm a big fan of hers, and she was in that, but you couldn't even see her. And, you know, I'm sure, like, the same thing is going to, you know, go down for the Battle Royal. You know, there's people, you know, wrestlers that a lot of people want to see on Mania. And, you know, they're just going to be, you know, another blip on the screen for Mania. And it's, I don't know, I don't find that exciting. I'm looking forward to the Battle Royal. I think it's a great idea, but
yeah, me too.
30 guys, I don't know.
Well, everybody needs a spot in WrestleMania. Everybody needs a WrestleMania moment. So you got to fit everybody on the card. And in only eight, if you can do it in eight matches and get away with it and have the 4 hours, then fine.
Yeah, but I don't think they should have everybody on Mania. Mania should be like something that everybody's busting their hump to get on, you know, for that year. But, you know, again, as you said, you know, they're not catering to WrestleMania to the old school fans, but they're catering it to the kids who are like, you know, this is, you know, your kid Mikey, granted he has you, but there's a lot of kids that are watching it whose parents, you know, may not be wrestling fans from the past, or they may have watched it for like a little bit. But, you know, as a kid, whatever you see on the screen, if you like it, you're going to love it.
Right.
And if you don't know what the past is all about, then you really have nothing to go on. You're just going on what you see. And if you like it, you're going to love it. So don't know what to tell you. People are telling to raise your volume, Phil.
Raise my volume?
Yeah, your voice is coming off low, I guess.
Let's see. All right, let me try and turn my shit up here. Let me see. Is that better? Hopefully it's better. I'm not. All right, let's see. Turn my USB up. I don't know what else to do here. All right, maybe that. Hello, can they hear me now? Hey, did I come louder to you?
I hear you fine, but apparently everybody else doesn't hear you too well.
I apologize for that. I'm going to try to jack this up. All right, moving right along. Tony C wants to know, why does Dave despise Hulkamania?
Oh, come on. I'll answer that when he calls in later on during the Hogan match for Mania 1.
Mark wants to know, can the tag and IC titles be saved? Absolutely. Any title any title can be saved with proper booking, bottom line.
Totally. Like the main event, they handled that perfectly with the triple threat going into the winner. Goes against Big E. That was a class act right there. Awesome matches.
Right.
It could totally be saved. So same thing for the tag titles.
Right, absolutely. All right, moving right along. Lopez wants to know, in your opinion, who cut the best promo at Mania 1? You want to answer that?
Iron Sheik.
I was going to say the same thing. Yes, Iron Sheik.
Gene Mean.
The best in the world tag team champion, Bubba.
Yeah, and I love Gene Mean on this one. He was like, and your thoughts, Volkov. I mean, Comrade Volkov.
I'm so happy when I picked the same thing. I was
my second favorite was Andre.
Andre, I like Bundy. Bundy was good. The five count, baby. Okay. Scott, you know we got to get for Scott the fucking Ace, not Ace Ventura, what do you call it, that Austin Powers when the chick goes, Scott, we got to get that for Scott.
All right.
I got to get that sound bit for Scott. If Hogan didn't do Rocky III, do you think Mania would have gone over like it did? Possibly no Mr. T in the main event, and the Hollywood Angles would have been killed, even possibly leading to no Rock and wrestling team up. Ooh.
Well... The thing of it all was
rock and wrestling, not really not Rocky III. Maybe not that main event, but you still would have had Piper and all that. And you could have still did that without Mr.
Something was going to happen because the whole rock and wrestling thing was because Captain Lou was in the Cyndi Lauper video. Girls just want to have fun. So would it be the same? Probably not, because it wasn't just Lauper, but Hogan was huge at the time, too, because of Rocky III. Same thing for Mr. T. You know, the two villains of the movie, surprisingly, are the huge baby faces for this main event. But I don't think it would be the same. I think it would just still... Something would have happened, whether it would just be a Madison Square Garden house show or something. But, you know... WWF, you know, they always had some monster baby faces like San Martino, to a degree, Bob Backlund. I was about to say Blackland, but
that's big.
And you know, superstar Billy Graham, he was a huge heel. So if Hogan wasn't around, they would have done something. Something would have happened.
All right, fair
enough. They still had Cyndi Lauper. And Lauper was fucking huge in 84 when she came to the WWF. So something was going to go down because, you know, we talked about this. Anything that was on MTV was super over. And just in general, you know, things aren't the way that they are now. You know, everybody's been on fucking TV. I've been on TV. All this other shit. And, you know, it's not how it is now. If you were on TV back then, it was a big deal, especially MTV.
Right. All right. Scott wants to know, in the past, Phil has said if Punk comes back, it would be Scooter Bryant at Mania as culprit, with the stip of whoever wins gets the title match. Now, do you think with the angle of him returning, if he does, would be Screw Trips out of... We mentioned that before. We mentioned either angle would be great.
Well, I have a question for Scott, and you too.
Scott! Concerning this.
You know, the no DQ match on Raw didn't come to an end. So that match is still going on, so...
It's probably in his bathroom right now, right? On that tour bus from Total Divas.
Yeah, so nobody won that match because it's still going on. No, there was no draw because it's a no DQ match. So if somebody wins at WrestleMania, is that title win going to mean anything? You know, is it going to be real? Because that match isn't over.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. Listen, Punk coming back regardless would be fantastic. Either he's corporate Punk or renegade Punk, it would make perfect sense for him to come back. Perfect sense for him to come back. You know, he would have to be that guy. Honestly, Dave, he'd have to be that guy again. And this would, either way, it's going to elevate Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Honestly. Otto wants to know, where can I get some IcoPro? Good question. I don't know.
Well, Daniel Lopez answered that for us. And he said, well, first you got to want it.
Yeah, and then you got to call 900-909-9900. Wasn't that Mean Gene's line?
Yeah, that was WCW. Come on.
With the unification, Scott has 17 questions. Scott, give me like 2 questions per thread. With the unification of 2 titles, should they move Money in the Bank back to the WrestleMania events? Yeah, why not? I like Money in the Bank. Well, then you wouldn't have you'd have one less pay per view if you took it away. If you have to,
yeah. Well, you know they're coming up with new pay per views every year anyway. So
yeah, bring back fucking Bash at the Beach. Bring back War Games. Bring back Starcade. He owns all these fucking names, dude.
Bring back King of the Ring as a fucking pay-per-view.
Exactly. Don't put it on a 3-hour Raw. Bring back fucking all... Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Put the fucking Money in the Bank back in WrestleMania. Good question. Let's see. Here's one. Otto wants to know, is it true Brody was supposed to be on Mania 1? We didn't read that in the book, right?
No, it wasn't in the book, but I did some research on it. Apparently people were offering... I guess promoters were offering Brody some money. They put a bounty on Mr. T's head for him to jump the rails over at WrestleMania 1 and attack Mr. T. But according to the rumors, Brody just passed on all those offers. So he was supposed to be wrestling at WrestleMania 1, but there were some rumors that he was offered money to hijack the show and attack Mr. T.
I was told today... but I was watching the Legends Roundtable that the Freebirds was supposed to be on Mania 1 and they fucked it up.
Yeah, they I don't remember what the story was for that, but they were on the house shows. They even had David Wolfe as their manager.
That was fantastic.
And you know, they were supposed to be an integral part of
the Rock and Wrestling
connection,
yeah.
But they fucked it up.
Let's see.
I think they had one of their matches on that They put out the Legends of Wrestling DVDs, like in Walmart and stuff
like
that.
I got a couple of them, yeah, but not that one, yeah.
And I think it was the Heat Seekers one, and they actually had one of the Freebirds matches on there.
Yeah. All right, let's see, moving right along. Greg wants to know, hello Greg, welcome to the page, by the way. Say you're Vince, Vince lets me book WrestleMania 1 with the talent the WWE had at the time. Would you book it just how it was originally, or completely different? I mean, everybody was, whoever was I guess I wouldn't book it different. I mean, watch it.
I would book it different.
What would you do different?
Well, I would have Chico Santana against
Greg Valentine
for the Intercontinental title. I would, you know, Bulldogs and Hart Foundation were having matches at that time. I'd throw that on there. Macho Man was around during then. I'd have him in, you know, one of those kind
Savage,
of like filler
Savage,
matches.
Savage didn't come in yet for WrestleMania.
Well, he was around
1.
Then.
For WrestleMania 1, no. He came in afterwards.
No, he was around in 85.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I got to get some confirmation on that. I don't think he was there. I mean,
I know he was feuding with Hogan as soon as he came in, and Hogan was like having, you know, matches with guys like...
In 85? Are you sure about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, like they were throwing guys at fucking Hogan during 85.
Oh, Hogan had... In 85, Hogan had Valentine, he had Piper, he had Orndorff, he had Bob Orton... And Don Morocco, I don't remember him fighting Savage. Savage didn't come in. Savage won the belt the following year at the Boston Garden. He won the IC title.
Yeah, but as soon as Macho Man came in, he was immediately feuding with Hogan. They had the two, was it the count out win and the DQ win at the Garden, and that
I think Savage was still in Memphis in his father's either Memphis or
we'll do some research and figure that
maybe
out.
Maybe the chat room could hook us up with that while we're doing this. All right, let's move right along. We got a lot of questions here. Let's see. George Uptown Georgie wants to know why the fuck was SD Jones on the card? Because SD Jones was on every card back then.
Yeah, he was. And he lost and, you know, served a purpose in making Bundy seem like a monster heel. So, yeah.
Harry said he was talking to Mega Powers earlier and how bad WCW programming was over here in jolly old England, home of the greatest tag team of all time, Tony. even the point where they put Batman-style POW, which I just bought a Batman POW for my man cave, actually. I'm going to put it up in the room in a couple days. And bang effects on the screen. What was the worst wrestling show you guys have ever seen production-wise? Production-wise? I guess the Legends of Wrestling pay-per-view? That was a bad production.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I want to say some indies, but, you know, they're indies. They can't, you know, you can't
I'm thinking Harry means
there.
Production, though.
What's that?
Production-wise. I think GLOW was pretty, like, budget production. But they weren't.
It looked better than Heroes of Wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Heroes of Wrestling was the shits.
Part of me wants to say the AWF, which was Chico's group on ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Wait
a second. You know who had the worst production-wise, in my opinion? AWA.
No. I like the AWA, man.
But they were getting, like, really ghetto at the end. Like, they had that fucking pink room, the studio.
Speaking of
AEW, I didn't like the casino, the Showboat Casino. They had some great matches on there, but it looked ghetto as hell.
Speaking of the AWA, I have a fantastic idea for a logo, and I need anybody who has graphic design background who's listening to the show, please inbox me. I have a fucking fantastic idea for a shirt. For you know, I won't even. That's all I'm going to say. Besides the Power Sun shirt, I want to put out.
Yeah. And I have my friend who's going to create a design.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Awesome. All right. Tony C. wants to know, should Dave's new nickname be the Special Olympic Gold Medalist Dave Powers or Dave Get Hitman Powers?
we'll talk to Tony later on.
Right, and the rest of the thread was Tony Z from the Wizards. How do you think Tony Z will kill himself tonight? He's thinking. Tony Z actually called me on the phone today. We were speaking for a little while. Shout out to him and the Wizards. He says he gets self-inflicted head wound, and then he puts up the Orndorff picture of him holding the Hulkamania workout set, which is fucking fantastic.
And we're going to open the suicide hotline to Tony C later on.
Yes, we are. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick 2.5-minute break, pay some imaginary bills, and come back. You're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast live on The Rant. We are a Shining Wizards Network production, and we'll be right back.
The following is a paid advertisement from Don, Tony, and Kevin Gassel. The self-help seminar depicted in this program may not intend to provide any such benefit.
Has wrestling become boring for you? Find yourself ashamed to talk about it amongst your peers at work?
Do you often think that maybe Nancy deserved it? Hi, I'm Anthony Black, and I'm here to tell you that you may be suffering from a serious wrestling dysfunction known as Russoitis. Russoitis is the leading cause of impotence in wrestling fans, and has also been linked to abnormal levels of patience for obviously crappy gimmicks and angles. But don't worry, there is hope for you yet. Don Tony and Kevin Castle are here every Monday night to help you through this debilitating infliction with their deep insights and personal advice.
I could touch my entire ass.
Don Tony and Kevin Castle have literally helped hundreds of thousands of fans come to terms with their wrestling dysfunction, and they can help you too.
I'm a retard.
But don't take my word for it. Listen to some testimonials from the people once afflicted by Russoitis.
I have been listening to Don and Tony and Kevin Castle for about 6 months now. Thanks to them, I now know more about wrestling and stuff. Me and my boyfriend, thank you, Don and Kev.
I've been listening to Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle for a while now. I only started because whenever I watched wrestling, I wanted to fucking kill someone and smear their brains on a wall. Now, thanks to them, I'm in more control and at peace with some of the horrid booking I see on TV. Thank you, Don and Kev. Fuck, 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 kill, fuck!
So don't just sit there. Go to wrestling-news.com and take part in the cure every Monday night after Raw. Common side effects of listening to Don Tony and Kevin Castle include, but are not limited to, high and low blood pressure, excessive happiness, depression, heartburn, heartworm, gonorrhea,
allergenic reactions, photogenic memory loss, blood and stool.
Hey, monkeys, check out The Bloke Show. It's a weekly podcast with dedicated topics for fans of cartoons, movies, comics, wrestling, music, and plenty more. Join them for a laugh at the world each week with the news you won't see on TV, from Florida to France to Fremantle. Where the hell is Fremantle? Rotating wrap-ups with top five picks and pans, and everybody's favorite, Marry, Fucking Kill, or Fuck, Marry, Kill. The Bloke Show is a friend of the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast and a member of the Atomic Geeks Network. Find them at theblokeshow.libsyn.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and your mom's basement.
This is Dusty Rhodes, the Bullet of Woods, the three-time world heavyweight champion, baby. And when I'm not getting funky like a monkey, when I'm not looking for baby doll, and when I'm not getting my ass kicked by the four horsemen, I'm listening to Mega Powers Radio, baby, on geeksoftheindustry.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and at the end of a lightning bolt. Ooh, Blue Eyed Soul, Dusty Rhodes getting funky like a monkey with the Mega Powers Radio, if you will.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting you to listen to The Midnight Jury. Mike Dorenganger and Adam Henning host The Midnight Jury, a podcast that transports you back to the last old-school generation, my generation. They debate in detail 80s and 90s pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture. Before the internet, before Blu-ray, before cell phones, there was the last old-school generation. Check out The Midnight Jury on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Entertainment here. As soon as you're done with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, head over to rantemradio.com. That's right, rantemradio.com. We got you covered all week. You got the rant live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. You got the Turnbuckle Throwbacks every Wednesday at 9 p.m. You have the Wrestling Call-In Show every Saturday at 11 p.m. And on Sundays, it's What Are You Reading with the Surfer at 6 p.m. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio. All right, bitches. All right. Rocking you like a hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
We are the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast. RantEMRadio.com is the place.
And we're alive.
We're alive. Yeah, people like your Vince McMahon impression, David.
Impression?
No. Yeah, like he gives a shit. Listen, I do a good Dusty, you could do Vince, you know. All right, let's get into our throwback of the week, man. Let's do it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, what's your name, where you from?
It's Scott.
Scotty, what's up, baby?
What's up, Scott?
Chilling, man. Got some corrections for you about Dish Network and the WWE pay-per-views going forward. They're going to be doing them on a pay-per-view basis. They're not going to show all of them. They're going to pick and choose which ones they want.
I thought we mentioned that last week. We didn't mention that last week?
No, you did, but you said that we're going to carry WrestleMania, but you said they were going to carry all of them going forward, but
well,
they're going to pick and choose. They're going to cherry pick which ones to show.
Yeah, because the dirt sheets aren't employed by Dish Network. You know what? I honestly think he took an old press release because that was actually put out after the fact. I just didn't. I totally forgot to say it again.
You know, at my job working for Dish, they told us this week that's how they were going to do it going forward.
Awesome. So what's going on?
Yeah. Not much, man. Not much. Just like you, I'm hoping Punk comes back to give a freaking kick in the ass to the current roster. It's kind of lame.
Yeah, well, like I was saying before, I mean, it makes perfect sense. Either way he comes back, it's gonna A, make everybody happy because, older guys happy anyway.
And B,
it's going to shoot Daniel Bryan to the moon.
Yeah, and Punk-Bryan matches in the past, they were off the hook, even for TV. Imagine what they would do on a pay-per-view.
Listen, I've seen it in Ring of Honor. They fought at least 4 or 5 times on Raw already. You know, again, I'm not bored of that. I just want a good, compelling story with it. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
That's the knock on indies. Dave and I hear this all the time because we go to a lot of indie shows now.
All the time.
All the knock is, well, these guys are great and they do all these fucking spots, but there's no story. And they're right. They're absolutely right. Ring of Honor is infamous for it. They'll have guys in there, they'll fight 25, 30-minute matches, and there's no build-up. You know,
Punk Samoa Joe matches were awesome.
Yeah, no.
60-minute matches? What the hell? 60-minute draws?
10 years ago.
Right. But the thing is, too, is, like, they're getting it. Like, their big show coming up in this weekend in New Orleans. They're doing a ladder match for the Supercard. And then they're doing, like, a number one contender match for the IWGP title. 2 out of 3 falls. Elgin and fucking Steen. It's going to be amazing. But, you know, you got to tell me a story. I don't care if you like Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. I love the Wolves, but they were in so many feuds that didn't make any sense. But then you get guys like the Briscoes and the Kings of Wrestling, and they told stories without even, you know, telling stories. They put on clinics. So I think it's a contrast of styles. A, B, it's proper storytelling, and that's the key to all of this. Chikara does a really good job of that. They tell a story.
And they're coming back in May.
Coming back in May. So.
Yeah.
All right, before we get into our throwback, Scott, what was your favorite match at WrestleMania 1?
Oh, man. I watched that a couple of months ago, and I can't remember half the shit that was on there.
All right, well.
Going back, when I was a kid, it was the Hogan match, you know. As a kid, Hogan was a shit. He's the one that got me into wrestling. He's the one that, you know, lit it up for me. But now, you know, I wish he would go away or just stay more behind the scenes. Putting him on TV, he's not getting the pop he used to. The younger crowd doesn't know who he is. It's just like, bleh. You know, Hogan's there, yay. I don't know if it was his exposure on TNA for years that just sucked and brought him down for me, but I just kind of wish he would just stay behind the scenes.
All right.
Make an appearance every few months, having him out there. I know he's the host of WrestleMania, you're trying to hype it up, but you could have got a better host for WrestleMania, somebody that can go out there and get the pop. You know, like when they brought The Rock back a few years ago, everybody knows who The Rock is. Attitude Era up to the current era, everybody loves The Rock. And, you know, But they could have definitely done something. Like in 10 years, John Cena will come back and host WrestleMania and everybody will be loving it. But not me, because I hate John Cena. That. Is that your favorite wrestler, Powers? Is it John Cena? You have his poster on the wall?
No, I'm saying I don't know about people loving him, you know, down the road.
Well, you know, the kids growing up, John Cena is today's Hulk Hogan. The kids that are growing up now, the 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds that love wrestling, they love Cena. So in 10 years, he's going to be Hulk Hogan. He's going to be brought back on TNA as a general manager for 4 years, and then he's going to quit and then wander the lonesome road.
He'll be there, but I'm thinking that he's probably going to get the Hogan, you know, reactions of now. Like, you know, love Hogan, but he's drawing flies.
All right, Scotty, we'll let you go, brother. Have a good night. We'll see you in the chat room, and enjoy WrestleMania.
All right, man. I'll be calling in on Sunday, too, if I get around to it.
Awesome. Thank you, brother.
Bye, Tim. Take it easy.
All right, man.
Take care, man.
Tomoko Throwbacks, what's your name? Where you from?
Big Papa, what's good? It's Uptown Georgie.
Uptown Georgie's in the building. What's up, Dave?
Oh, snap.
What's happening, man? Dave, me and Dave were chatting over... I was giving Dave a few stories. We was talking about a WWC back in Puerto Rico. I have to tell you this on the air. Right? Before I went to an event, like I said, I was in Caguas, right? Before I even stepped foot in the place, remember I said it was shady?
Oh,
right
boy.
To my right, the minute you walk in, there was a group of people, dude. They had roosters, these huge freaking roosters. They had cockfights before the event.
The pre-show.
That was the pre-show. Wow,
the pre-show.
Exactly.
It was literally the pre-show, dude. This is how the fans used to get blood crazy before the wrestling match. I'm not bullshitting you, dude.
And then moonshine you were telling me about.
And then the moonshine liquor, the shots that they had going on before. Yo, this is outside of the event before. They would let everybody in because they would set up the chairs. They would, like, figure out how many people were coming, and they would have to, like, bring, like, extra chairs sometimes. Remember, these are, like, gyms, like, big armories where they would, like, practice volleyball, and, like, they had all these, like, basketball hoops. It was, like, huge. Anyway, then, like, I was telling Dave, the moonshine was just hilarious because, like, the event even started, it was so already ripped before they would go in to the event. So you could imagine the hostile crowd that was already coming in. You know, and I just wanted to just say that to you guys. I figured, you know, you would like to hear that one, especially Phil would like to hear that one.
Yeah, you sparked. Listen, anytime we get a different view of stuff that we grew up watching, like I was telling you last week, I didn't get that stuff unless I went down to my aunt's house in Florida.
You would have to experience. That was like something you had to experience, dude. For real.
Yeah,
dude.
Like,
oh, man.
Like, Dave went to fucking Japan. I would love to go to Japan to see a new
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? I would love to go to Puerto Rico in its heyday and see a card. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I would have loved to have been in Florida, like when my boy Kevin Castle. Kevin used to go down there like me every year, but Kevin actually used to go to Florida Wrestling with the Grams, where the Grams ran it.
It was hot back then.
But he would see Kevin Sullivan and Purple Haze. I summoned
Purple Haze.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, you know, that stuff.
You get to see Brody and Luger in the cage.
The infamous cage, man. Yeah, Luger had tailed out of that. Isn't he like one half of Tony T's favorite tag team?
Yeah, Sting and Luger.
I love it, man. Tony C getting a lot of love, man. This is fantastic.
I don't know if it's love, but
it's all love,
C,
man. This is all family, man. This is
We're family.
I haven't kept a straight face about this shit since last night, man. It was bananas.
Man, I was enjoying that shit. I had my popcorn. I was listening. I was just going, man. I was like, you give it to him, Dave.
No, like I said, it's just an April Fool's joke.
I know.
I wasn't trying to boil the man's blood.
No, you can't. Yeah, I meant that. I posted it. I said, he's the Pope of Hulkamania. Nothing could get under his skin, man. You're not going to win an argument with Tony C when it comes to Hulkamania.
The Pope of Hulkamania. The Black Disciple, he said.
Brutus Black Cakes.
Brutus Black Cakes. All right, Georgie, let me go. We open the phone lines up. Let's get some more heads in there before we start doing our throwback. All right, brother?
All right, guys. Keep it up, brother.
Thanks
all right,
for
man.
Calling,
be
brother.
Good.
All right, guys.
Uptown Georgie in the building. I love our fans, Dave.
Drinking that moonshine, watching the... they should be a cockfight at WrestleMania 30.
Have you ever drank Puerto Rican moonshine in your life?
No, I'm sure I'd be breathing fire afterwards.
You would, dude. You would pass out with your with your body weight. You would probably take a couple of shots and you'd probably pass out somewhere.
I'd probably just take a whiff of that stuff and pass out,
dude. It the shit will knock you on your ass.
My face would probably burn off.
I think we're gonna have to get Georgie to get some of that moonshine and hook us up with a party.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Probably, yeah, burn my eyebrows off with that thing.
718-878-6394. WrestleMania 1, March 31st, 1985. Oh, look at this. Shining Wizards calling in. Look at this.
Oh, snap.
Hello, sir.
Hello, my good friend. How are you tonight?
What's up, Shining Wizards, Tony?
I am dying, dude. I'm falling asleep over here, and I missed the opportunity of a lifetime to speak to Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, so hate me.
No, dude.
What happened?
I couldn't make the show tonight. I had a TCB, and hopefully Matt didn't stutter and stammer enough, you know.
So it was Matt and Eddie talking to Mr.
Matt and Eddie. It was a Tonyless Wizard show tonight. It was all three guys. I'm sure they kicked some ass, but you know, somebody get the digital chemotherapy because podcast cancer is on the line.
Podcast cancer is in effect.
Well, you know. Mr. Wonderful is the guy who pile drove Hulk Hogan.
Right after this, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was pretty shocking.
Well, hopefully he didn't fall over and get stretchered out after he did that. You know, he was in better shape back then.
Yeah.
God bless Paul Orndorff.
Yeah.
Tony,
that poor guy.
Tony, have you gotten a chance to watch WrestleMania 1 since you've gotten the network, or...
No, not even. You know what? The funny thing is, I honestly find myself watching the dumb countdown show more than anything else.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, like, you can vote. Like, they put questions out to the WWE Universe, and you get to decide what top 10 things that you want to see on the list. I think this week was, like, the top 10 scenes of jerking off in the showers, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, nice. Yeah, hey, I really enjoyed when they had Layla in the shower. And they were trying to tear her clothes off or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was fantastic, dude. My personal favorite was when Mickey was walking in on Trish in the shower. That's good times.
What about Steve Allen with the Bolsheviks in the shower?
That was the best.
Dude, we could do a whole show on just like scenes in the showers. That's awesome. We could have Val Venus getting his penis chopped off. We could have Brody getting stabbed. It would be a whole fucking hootenanny.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that happened in showers in pro wrestling.
I know. Pat Patterson's School of Self-Defense was taught in that shower.
Yeah. No. That was Terry Garvin.
Terry Garvin was a professor in that school, too?
Yeah, it's the Mel Phillips special.
That was where the School of Self-Defense was named after, Terry Garvin.
God damn. But to answer your question, Phil, I haven't watched it on the network, but I consider myself, I guess, somewhat of a WrestleMania 1 connoisseur. Considering that was like one of the highlights of my childhood and my foray into the wrestling world,
yep.
So I don't know if you had anything particular you wanted to know about, but
no, I just wanted your, you know, I know your take because we've spoken about it at least three or four times since you and I have been friends. So I just now that I'm actually getting to do it on a podcast, I just wanted to get your opinion for the rest of the folks.
I think that Wendi Richter, as over as she was kind of the shits of the drizzling variety. I don't know how you fuck up a roll through on a cross body block and win a championship, but there you go.
It happened before. Plenty of matches.
I was disappointed that the Junkyard Dog didn't win the title, but I was happier than a pig and slop when Tito Santana came out and made sure his friend got the win. I think that SD Jones needs to find his mark a little better when he's trying to set a record for a 9-second loss.
Well, that was the greatest 30-second, 9-second match ever.
I was really pissed off that when Barry Windham got cracked over the head with Fred Blassie's cane. Although it was quite a scene to see Nikolai and the Iron Sheik wearing the belts.
And
but,
did she cut the best promo of the night?
Yeah,
of course. Cameraman Zoom, one of the all time greats.
Look at us, he says.
The one thing I'm curious to know about, though, and I'm sure I'll find out when I listen to the show that I was supposed to be on tonight, is what Paul Orndorff's opinion of Mr. T was. Everybody knows what Roddy Piper's opinion of Mr. T is. I just wonder if Orndorff felt the same way or if he was just happy to be there.
Well,
that's a good question.
Well, I watched the roundtable today, this morning, and Pat Patterson said he was the one in charge of Muhammad Ali. And he said Ali was at that time getting the beginning stages of the Parkinson's. And his mindset, he was supposed to ref the match solo. Didn't work out that way. It turned out that, so Patterson went to Vince and said he can't do this on his own. So Pat, you know, took it upon himself to put himself as the ref and put, you know, Ali as the outside enforcer. Orndorff and Piper were more pissed at Ali than Mr. T because Ali wanted to get in the ring and actually start swinging at these dudes. Like legit. So Mr. T, the only problem they had with Mr. T was Piper had more of a problem with Mr. T. Orndorff was more pissed off at Ali. Yeah.
There is an infamous part in the match when the heels took a powder, and you hear Gorilla yelling it. He's like Muhammad Ali just took a swing at Piper, and you could see
he took a like
off to the side.
Like Billy Martin, like took his sports coat off. Like Billy Martin was going to get in there. Like he was probably fucking two shades in the bag already. You know that?
Oh, of course.
That lush. Did he cut a promo with Mean Gene? He was drunk. He was polluted. They flew me.
If you watch Howard Finkel closely, you can hear him coming across the microphone telling Billy Martin everything to say.
Yeah. Mean Gene said they flew him down to, I think it was California. California. And the scene was that Mean Gene was going to meet Billy Martin in a bar and cut this promo.
Of course.
Because, you know, Billy Martin did all those beer commercials back in the day. So it just made perfect sense. And plus, he was a fucking alcoholic, a raging alcoholic at that point.
Yeah. I remember this interview with Gene.
So now Gene said that Gene got there, and he was bombed in the morning already. So he said, listen, Mean Gene said to him, I'll just, you know, announce the card, and you just make baseball references to it. And it worked. And he kept his sunglasses on, and he was fucking bombed. So, you know, we answered a bunch of Facebook questions before, and one of the questions were, you know, would you rebook it differently? Fuck that, no. Everybody that was there was supposed to be there. Billy Martin, Liberace, fucking Muhammad Ali, they were all supposed to be there. That's it. I wouldn't have had it any other way. Any other way.
I just wonder, I mean, Mean Gene was a year or two away from Tutti Frutti. I just wonder whose idea it was to put him on the mic at the beginning of the show.
I don't know.
To sing the anthem. That was a pretty bad decision.
Well, was it as bad as Rockin' Robin's rendition?
I don't think anything beats Rockin' Robin's. That was so bad it didn't even make it on the fucking Coliseum video.
I understand, but you know this from every story that you hear, this was Vince's make or break moment. And I don't know about you, but if I'm in a production meeting and Vince's entire fortune, his entire business is on the line, I don't think I'm raising my hand going, how about me and Gene? I just don't. I'm sorry.
Where Jimmy Hart, the professional singer, you know, could have.
For one hit.
Yeah. I mean.
Yes, of course. He could have keep on dancing.
Good point, brother.
And he wrote the Terry Funk album.
Oh, that's right.
Phil, it's so weird. Like, I know your show is, you know, from the current to the way back. And I was reading in the message room that somebody was 6 years old when Hulk Hogan turned NWO. And it's just like, damn. It's hard to, like, get your head around the fact that so many wrestling fans these days are probably not even cracking their, like, mid-20s at this point.
Someone listened to my show, and that's not really a big wrestling fan, a friend of mine from like, high school, and he said to me, he's like, well, you know, he thought that Dave was the same age as you and I, because Tony, if anybody who doesn't know, Tony and I are the same age, and...
No,
Dave's a decade behind us, and that's a credit to Dave, obviously. But when I hear stuff like that, or I read stuff in the chat room, or like, you know, sometimes I forget that Dave was fucking 3 years old, and I was, you know,
25.
Yeah, exactly,
25.
And I'm like, I honestly, dude, I didn't have a hard time with getting to this point in my life until I started doing this, like, for a hobby. Like, I'm reading stuff going, yeah, I remember that. But now that I'm, like, recalling it and talking about it, like, over the air and shit, I'm like, oh, man, that's – like, when we did the Christmas special and we did Starcade, I was like, Jesus Christ, I was in junior high school. And that night,
yeah.
I drank heavily with you guys. When you guys left, I drank heavily that night. I was like, oh, man.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I was bombed out of my face.
What, were you depressed that Mooted didn't win any fucking points?
That pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I was pissed off at the
Jesus.
Yeah. You know what? But it's cool, though, that that fans, you know, can now, like, watch it on all level, I guess, in a way, and critique it. Like, and compare it to the shitstorm that is now. You know what I'm saying? Because, again,
of course.
Even back then, even in the early to mid-90s, it told a better story, and I thought that things were at least getting to that. They weren't like, shit in the bed that much like they are now, where it's just
those. The only thing that I really, like, miss, or that I think would have been, you know, beneficial to me, is if something like this, like what we do, existed when we were the young wrestling fans. Like, it would have been something, you know, cool for me to be able to tune in, like, even on the radio, to hear guys talking about how it was back in their day, which would probably be like the 50s, 60s, and 70s, you know?
That would have been insane. And it was totally different back then.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Hey, I don't know if you guys listened to the Tito Santana interview, but I know Dave hates... Did you listen?
Yeah, I listened.
Okay, but for those of you who don't know, Chico Santana, and I'm calling him Chico because I'm pretty annoyed with him. I didn't get a chance to listen to him today.
That's a prerequisite on the show, so you have to call him Chico.
So Chico scoops up the green and silver Intercontinental belt after he won it back and Valentine smashed the hell out of it in the steel cage. And he took it home with him, and he kept it in his basement. And then one day he just looked at it and said, why am I keeping this hunk of garbage, and threw it away?
Because he's, you know, bean-eating morons. What can you expect from that?
That just, it just irks me, dude. It just, I would have given my left foot to have a piece of memorabilia like that.
Just hang out in front of his house and start looking through his garbage. Maybe you'll find the Intercontinental title that he had... That he lost to Savage.
And Dave, when Tony...
Well, he should put it in clear plastic bags because that's the Puerto Ricans go window shopping, right?
Dave, ring your bell, Dave. Where's your bell? There you go. There you go. When Tony told me that this afternoon when he called, I was like, that's the one thing Dave and I did not ask Dave Milliken. Like, how many belts do they make? That many belts does he make for these guys with these runs? Like, I know guys get them and like, when wrestlers, like, The Rock has, like, he has a whole showcase in his house of all the belts that he's won. But does he have to have Dave make more, or do they make a few at a time? Because can you imagine if that was the only fucking belt and this idiot threw it in the garbage? Just terrible fucking wetback. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Jesus.
I'm just saying, like, that pissed me. Yeah, ring the bell.
Yeah, you know, this spick is throwing out some great stuff in the garbage. What the hell's wrong?
All right, this is the show, Dave, that I remember. You guys are all fucking big shots now on Randy Orton.
No.
You know what? He kept that stupid AWF belt from that garbage federation with the friggin' round system.
Hey, I like
the
round system.
He throws out the WWF Intercontinental title.
Jesus Christ. All right, let's maintain. Yeah, but, you know, I
everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine, Dave. Everything's fine.
I'm calm.
Yeah, we know. We know you're calm. We know you're calm.
Just having a chat.
Anyway.
So who's taking bets on how Tony C kills himself tonight when you guys start talking about Hulkamania dying?
Tony, everything is fine. It was just a joke. You know, Tony C's all right. He's a friend of ours. Everything's cool.
Cool in
yeah,
the
man.
Gang.
Nothing but love, but bro, I mean, I'm red and yellow as much as anybody else, but goddamn, it's just funny how annoyed he gets. I love it.
The best part is I didn't even think Dave was going to call in last night. That was the greatest part of that whole thing, was that I was calling in from my bus stop waiting to go home, because I, you know, I heard the show being slandered a bit, and I was like, let me call in there and put my two cents. And all of a sudden, 30 seconds later, fucking Dave chiming in,
If you're talking about anything slanted, of course Dave's going to be involved.
No, slander, not the dead slanties he has in his basement. I'm talking about slanted.
Is she still breathing? What are you talking about?
Dude, open the fucking bag, asshole. I gave you a quality body bag for her. Anyway.
You like your mega power?
Why you make Chavo mega power? Why you make a Chavo power, son?
Why you make Chavo? Plenty of that pearl cream down there, too.
Pearl cream made from real pearl from the Orient.
Holy shit, man. I'm sure all your fans know that they're listening to something fucking fantastic here, man. I love the show. I'm going to let you guys go so you can get to Tony C and figure out he's going to fucking murder himself tonight. So enjoy the rest, brothers. I will talk to you guys later. Have a great show. And love, peace, chicken grease, and give yourself a handy.
Love you, brother. Be good.
Peace out.
Take care, boys.
All right. That's Shining Wizards, Tony. ShiningWizards.com. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment.
Let's get down to WrestleMania 1.
Entertainment here.
WrestleMania.
All right. Here's the bell. Madison Square Garden, March 31st, 1985, Dave. 19,121 people. This is the first annual WrestleMania.
The first ever. Vince has his house on the line for this.
Yep.
About pig feet?
No, pay-per-view was... Oh. It was pay-per-view in selected areas.
Closed circuit.
Yes, closed circuit. And it was the biggest closed circuit event to date.
Even bigger than WrestleMania 2?
Yes, at the time. At the time. This is before 2. Obviously, the event was the start of the rock and wrestling gimmick, which brought together pro wrestling and obviously the music industry. Dave mentioned everything on MTV was gold at that point.
Well, they already had... Well, before this, we had the brawl to end it all, the war to settle the score leading up to WrestleMania.
That's right, which you just took my next paragraph. So we'll skip to the third paragraph. The show had 9 matches. Your main event, obviously, with, like Dave just mentioned, Hogan and Mr. T against Rowdy Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. You had Ace Cowboy Bob Orton in their corner, and in Hulk's corner, you had Jimmy Snuka. He would have been in the main event if, Dave,
kill his fucking girlfriend.
He didn't kill his girlfriend. That's right.
His mistress, I mean.
Wendy Richter, in her awfulness, managed by Cyndi Lauper. Fort Leilani Kai, who I'm trying to get on the show. Hopefully she gets back to us. Because I want to hear her side of that story. For the WWF Championship. No, Sheikin Volkoff against the U.S. Express, Rotundo and Wyndham. There's a whole bunch of things going on here.
Let's start off with that great rendition of the national anthem by Mean Gene Okerlund.
That's right. Mean Gene sings the awful... Nationally, I don't think it was bad as Rock and Robin.
That wasn't that awful. It was pretty good.
It wasn't as bad as fucking Rock and Robin's, though.
You know, Mean Gene was a singer. He was in a band. I have his vinyl record at my house. I got it signed at Legends of the Ring, last couple Legends of the Rings, and
that's right.
The man did Tutti Frutti. He's a talent.
Dave and I will be at the Legends of the Ring this coming June. First weekend of June with the Shining Wizards. Should be a good time. All right, your first match was Chico Santana versus the Executioner, who was Playboy Buddy Rose, I believe, in a mask, right?
Yes, who was obviously paid off by Greg the Hammer Valentine to break the leg again of Chico Santana.
Yeah, Santana at that point had an ongoing feud with then Intercontinental Champion Greg the Hammer Valentine. Santana did win the match, applying the figure four leg lock on the Executioner. So that was interesting.
But my favorite part was when Chico knocked him over the top rope, and the fucking Executioner lands in the seat, like actually sits down on the seat when he flies over the top rope, and Chico brings him back in the ring the hard way and slams him back in, and then hits the flying burrito and the figure four.
That's right. Your next match was the Walking Condominium, the pride of Atlantic City, New Jersey, King Kong Bundy, accompanied by the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. facing Conrad Efren, man. Conrad Efren, you know him better as Special Delivery Jones.
And like I said, the best 30-second, 9-second match on the card.
Yeah, after crushing Jones on against a turnbuckle and landing on him first, stomach first, Bundy defeats Jones, like Dave said, in a record time. The official time of the match was 9 seconds, although the match actually went closer to 24 seconds. They say the match was 9, but it was more like 24, and I even counted, so.
I find it interesting that a lot of these matches are just leading up to feud breakers, you know, down the road, or they're building up dudes for the next Mania.
Yeah.
Well, even though, from what I've been hearing, I've actually been listening to the 30 years of WrestleMania podcast on Podcast One, and they're having a lot of these... you know, legends talking about their WrestleMania experiences, and I think Bret Hart was the one who said that you know, they weren't expecting another Mania after this.
Tony, go ahead, Dave. Finish your thoughts, sir.
But you know, because they didn't know if this was going to be successful, they didn't know if you know, Vince was going to lose his house, and you know, the WWF after this, they didn't know how successful it was going to be or what, but. I don't know. I just find it interesting that you know, King Kong Bundy would go on to main event WrestleMania 2, and you know, Chico Santana would get his Intercontinental title win, you know, down the road, not long after Mania.
Now joining us on a Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, the Black Disciple, Tony C. What's going on, brother?
Hey, yo. You fellas doing this evening.
Hey, Tony C, how about that April Fool's joke yesterday?
You know what, Mega Powers? You're wrong. You're wrong.
Wrong?
You're wrong.
Tony, I tried,
that was
Tony.
A bad joke, man.
I was joking around with you yesterday.
Tony, I tried so hard to keep face, man. And when Dave told me he was going to do this, I'm like, dude, you're gonna stir some shit. So again, I mentioned this for the third time tonight. I did not know, and this is no joke. This is the truth. This is straight up shooting. I had no idea Dave was calling in last night. I got off the train. I put on my phone, and now my phone is delayed. The feed is delayed. You know how we have like the 1 minute delay on the rant. I was delayed a little more than that because I was playing it before I got underground in the train. I came back up and it was still playing. And then when I hit the reset, the feed went right back to how was your weekend, and it went right into you starting your, you know, your spiel. And I had no, and I called in. I swear on my father, I had no idea Dave was calling in. So that even made it even better. So April Fools.
Dave, that was a good one, man.
And so we're friends.
Oh, of course.
See, the band is back together.
All right, so since we played this joke on Tony C, I think it's only fitting we keep him on the rest of the show. I mean, we'll take calls if they call him, but we'll keep Tony on the show. We'll finish up with the WrestleMania, if you don't mind.
I just want to say this. You know, you guys think I'm just over the top about my guy Hollywood. It's just he takes so much slack.
You know,
in the wrestling business, go ahead.
Made some bad decisions in the past. So
yeah. Not only did he make bad decisions, but you know, we've had this discussion when we first, you know, started hooking up with you guys. And I had told you that I thought, you know, I'm far from a Hulkamaniac, and I don't like him at all. Even as a kid, I was just more attracted to the bad guys. But my problem with Hogan was that they always pitted him against like better guys. Case in point, Orndorff. The Wizards are going to have Orndorff on tonight.
Oh God!
Like, come on, dude, you can't. Mr. Wonderful was
Mr. Wonderful personality. His personality was like watching paint dry.
But dude, you could put. First of all, Orndorff always had a mouthpiece, so I don't give a shit if he could. He didn't have to cut a promo. All the top bad guys had a Bobby Heenan, a Jimmy Hart, or a Mr. Fuji, or a Johnny Valiant at that time, or a Slick to his credit, okay? So any of those guys who couldn't cut a promo had somebody else.
They had a mouthpiece.
They always put Hogan with these larger-than-life bad guys that, you know, in real life could, I mean, in a real decent wrestling match, could whoop his ass. And to Hogan's credit, he didn't even have to do any of the moves that he did in Japan or in his older, back in the day in EWA in Florida. That's the thing. That's
you know what? Probably in real life, a lot of those guys could have beat up Hogan.
Yeah, but my whole thing is when people talk about him, it's like he's a stain on the business. It's so many other guys that came through the wrestling industry that freaking stained the business, i.e. Jeff Hardy, Willow, with this crap. Nobody wants to see this crap.
But like I told Rage before, man, opinions are like assholes, right? Everybody's got one, and some stink.
Of course.
All right, so you know
what? But I'm saying look at the numbers to back up people's opinion. Like, when it comes to Hogan, he drew money.
Of course
you know,
he drew money.
If he didn't, they would have never put straps on him. The guy never had a mid-card title.
Now, here's the thing, too. We could tell guys and girls who listen to our shows all day about guys drawing money. And you notice for a fact that doesn't fly anymore.
Yeah, and you know.
No more. But I'm saying at that time,
Look at Hogan yesterday.
Nobody really cared about Hogan at the press conference yesterday.
Of course, this generation cares about screaming yes, yes, yes for a Ghostface Soul.
The press conference people there, they didn't really give a shit about D-Bry either. They didn't,
this generation doesn't, I mean, like Triple H said it best, they move on from one thing to the next. Fandango was the hottest thing after that Mania. The hottest thing.
But that was because of the international crowd that was at Raw the next night after that.
I'm going to tell you something right now. And you go and you take your Hogan flag and you fly it as high and mighty as you can. It don't matter what anybody else thinks. If you have that memory of him and whatever you want to do, I do the same thing with guys like Orndorff and Flair and Dusty and the Road Warriors. Everybody gives me shit because the Road Warriors are my favorite tag team. They're not the most technical sound guys in the world.
But they kicked ass.
But
that's the oxymoron, though, Phil. You like the Road Warriors and Dusty, but the Road Warriors try to blind Dusty.
Right, well, again,
that's what made them heels, because they put that spike to his eye.
And that's what made them better than everybody else, because they were even cooler as bad guys. And as a teenager, you're like, oh, man, they did Dusty wrong. But Dusty always came back and fought the good fight. Dusty always had allies. He had Sting. He had Magnum TA. He had Nikita Cole.
Well, where were they when they beat the A-double cricket letter in that parking lot at the TBS studio?
Oh, when they followed Dusty. You know what was great about that, dude? We're getting away from WrestleMania, but you know what was great about that with that clip? And Dave and I are going to do – actually, Dave and I – promise each other we're going to do a podcast about that episode.
You have to.
Oh, we are.
That's
the best part. The best part about that, and I'll probably say it again when we do the show this summer, is that everybody had Cadillacs back then.
Yep.
The Junkyard Dog won a Cadillac at that tournament, right?
No, he won a Rolls Royce.
Sure wasn't the Cadillac?
No, it was not. Which probably was in real life. But
yeah.
But even Dusty was like, we all had Cadillacs. We all had Cadillacs.
He had a phone.
He had like Brown, baby, if you will. Living on the end of a lightning bolt. But, all right.
So listen, guys, we got to get back to WrestleMania 1.
All right, so the next match is Ricky Steamboat versus Maniac Matt Bourne. You know him better as Doink the Clown. Matt Bourne was a mainstay in Mid-South for a very long time.
He didn't seem like a maniac at this event.
No, he actually mellowed out. He's a second-generation wrestler. Too Tough Tony Bourne was his dad. Matt Bourne was a sound wrestler. Oh, this was actually a good match.
This was really solid. Both guys knew how to wrestle. So
yeah, Steamboat took the only advantage in the match
with the illegal karate chops.
Yes, you know Steamboat was a martial artist.
Well, you know the man's a goop, so he tries to win at all costs.
But he really isn't.
Yeah, Steamboat.
Right. So Bourne flipped him over and slammed him into the mat using a belly-to-belly suplex. After performing a flying crossbody, Steamboat pins Matt Bourne for the win.
This was probably, my second favorite match of the night.
Yep. Let's see. Your next match was David Sammartino.
Against Brutus Beefcake.
No.
know what, Dave?
Wait. I said Brutus Beefcake.
You slipped it in there.
We got to get Tony to see a bow tie. All right. Come on, Tony. Wouldn't that be great? Aren't you getting married soon?
Yeah.
When you get married in June?
Yeah.
All right. I gotta send you a wedding present then. We're gonna send you a wedding present.
Yeah, we'll make sure to send the snake instead of the.
No,
the,
not
the
a present. Snake, you idiot.
You're gonna right. have Sid and Undertaker show up at a reception. And gimmick.
Tony's wife's gonna be cutting us down. You hit my husband in the groin with a toilet seat. He had a bicycle. All right. Tony's wife does not talk like Dusty Rhodes. They just like doing the impression. All right. Moving right along. Let's see. David Sammartino, accompanied by the living legend Bruno, against Brutus Beefcake.
And this was clearly, means to get Bruno back into the World Wrestling Federation.
But Bruno wanted no part of this.
He wanted nothing to do with it. He wanted to retire several times. He wanted to retire after, Superstar Billy Graham.
Yeah, and he mentioned on Cabana's podcast a few months ago that he was trying to get out, but they kept bringing him back in for shit.
Well, he was Vince's cash cow at the time, kind of like when they kept bringing Hogan back ad nauseum.
Yeah, well, that's what happens with these guys.
They don't bring Hogan back in nauseum, Dave. This is the first time coming back since he left TNA. That sinking ship.
The action.
Listen, as much as we love Hogan, it hasn't been all, wine and roses.
Oh yeah.
All right. So the action favored both contestants. Each wrestle with this.
Draws at a WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm not a big Beefcake fan. Beefcake threw Sammartino out of the ring. Valiant lifted him up, slammed him on the cement floor, pushed him back in. Bruno gets involved right after that. A short while later, all men begin fighting in the ring, and then in a no contest. So.
And David Sammartino's career didn't last very long. But I thought it was funny that. He hung around, but he wasn't, a prominent guy. Like, he would do house shows here and there until the 90s.
Say what you want about Beefcake. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have that infamous segment on the Barbershop with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty.
Well, it's good to have friends, right, Tony?
You get by with a little help from your friends, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. All right. Your first championship defense of the night was between challenger Junkyard Dog and your reigning IC champion, Greg the Hammer Valentine.
You knew the brother wasn't getting that belt.
Well, yeah, JYD at this point was...
Well, you didn't know at that time.
No, JYD was hot. They had just brought him in. JYD was white. I don't give a shit how out of shape and how coked up he was. He was white hot. Back and right.
I don't care how many pies that man was eating before the show.
I don't, dude. He was so
how many cakes that dude was eating.
And we only know, grabbing
those cakes.
We only know that because of the Mid South book, and we had Emerson on. Yeah.
Was he eating watermelon too, Dave?
Greg Klein. What was that, Tony? What was that?
I was asking, was JYD eating watermelon as well?
Oh, that's just racist. Ring the bell, Dave.
Whoa. Come on, Tony.
Ring the bell.
You know, yeah, yard burned.
Yeah, we yard burned it tonight, unfortunately. And that's because...
Tony C's the one that said it, not me.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not ashamed that I love a little racist talk every now and again.
Well...
What's wrong with that?
If so anyway, about that big, thick black skull of the JYDs.
JYD, the dog begins the match. Where's my notes? Yeah, I lost my notes.
And I'm kind of pissed at the, of course they're not going to have it on the network or even on the Coliseum video, but the dude used to come out to Queens, Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah, now they just put him down. They redub Grab Them Cakes.
So. But I would love to hear JYD come down to Queens.
I used to love it. Dude, he was so over, man. I was in the Garden right after WrestleMania 1. I was in the Garden. November of 85 was my first Madison Square Garden show as a kid. And he was more over than Hogan. And Hogan was the fucking champ. And there were nights where he was over than Hogan, and I've mentioned that a million times. All right. JYD doing his headbutts and punches. Goes back and forth. Listen, JYD, not the greatest of wrestlers. Valentine's a great technician.
He was working that leg.
Spending
the ligament area of the leg.
As Gorilla Monsoon eloquently put it, as the action went back and forth. Hart climbs to the top of the ring apron where Valentine accidentally hits him. Later on, Valentine pins JYD using his feet on the ropes for leverage, which obviously is an illegal maneuver. As a result, Chico Santana runs down to the ring to explain what happened to the match's official. Nobody cares about Chico's opinion. But the ref took it upon himself to restart the match, and JYD couldn't even win the match after a restart.
I thought it was funny that Greg Valentine was outside of the ring looking like he was about to cry, and he's getting counted out, just standing there like a buffoon,
right?
And he gets counted out.
It makes no sense. So the dog gets a second life and can't even win the title. So
just like what you said about Luger in WWF, right?
Yeah, you know what? That's a fucking travesty, man. Don't even get me started. I don't have enough time.
Didn't win any belts in the WWF. ruined his shot at WrestleMania 10.
He just had stock in Ico Pro, and that's about it.
Yeah, and he was almost a WBF champion, but he wasn't good enough. So,
all right, so your second title match of the evening was for the Tag Team Championship. Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik, accompanied by the classy one himself, the fashion plate, Mr. Fred Blassie, challenging the reigning champions, the U.S. Express, Mike Rotundo and Barry Windham.
And they came out to Born in the USA, which was also cut off.
Born down in a dead man's... I hate Springsteen. Anyway.
You know, I met Max Weinberg one time.
On purpose?
He came into... I used to work at Sam Ash Music, and he would come in a bunch of times.
Oh, that must have been fun.
Some guys thought he was an asshole. I don't know what to say. He was nice to me.
Most of the guys are assholes. The match, let's see. Sheik and Volkoff. All right.
And Blassie predicted that Sheik and Volkoff would be the World Tag Team Champions after this.
That's right.
And this is one of the few times that the Soviet National Anthem was not interrupted.
No, it was not. It was not. All right, so you know how this match ends. Blassie uses the cane. Nikolai smashes, I believe it was Barry Windham in the face, right?
Yeah, it was Barry Windham. You know, he got hit with the cane. And rest is history. Windham tried to get the bulldog on him. There was the Pier 6, and then Sheik hits Windham with the cane. And three count later, we got new champions of the world.
That's right. And then the promo of the night. Look at us. Look at us.
And I found it, U.S. Express went on to win the belts back, and then they lost to the Dream Team.
They lost to the Dream Team, right.
And then, Wyndham left, went back to NWA, and the golden boy himself, Gary,
Danny Spivey.
Dan Spivey. The long bleach blonde hair mixed up with the Brillo pad hair.
There you go.
FCW. Well, the guy was a fucking psychic.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I asked Shining Wizards Eddie to ask Mr. Wonderful about his time with Gary Spivey and getting his confidence back.
Yeah. All right, so your next match was the $15,000 body slam challenge, which as a kid, this was my favorite match of the night.
Used it as bait to get Andre into this match, and if Andre didn't win, his career was on the line.
That's right. But
you know how this match started? What started this match? What led up to this?
The bounty, right? With the bounty, didn't Bobby Heenan put a bounty on Andre and Kempetera? Was it Kempetera, Bundy, and Stud jumping him? Was that?
It was a tag team match. Andre the Giant and. Tony C's distant relative, S.D. Jones.
That's right.
Going against
my distant relative.
Apparently, Tony sees West Indian. He didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. No. Going against Stud. Well, I don't know. Maybe you sounds like you know something about that. Anyway, Stud and Ken Patera are tagging up, you know, against Andre and Mr. Jones.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I knew he was. I knew he was old school and was gonna bring that.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I thought it was Mrs. Jones.
I know. I
Mr. Jones was that Counting Crows song. But anyway.
Anyway.
Stud and Patera beat the crap out of SD Jones, which isn't that hard of a deal. And they double slam Andre in the ring and beat the crap out of him. And they start cutting that afro of his in the ring. And, you know, that led to the feud with Stud and Andre. And they had the Colossal Jostle.
Yep.
At the Garden, which was, you know...
Colossal Jostle.
Horrible name, but, you know, led to, you know, I think it was like a double DQ or something like that, which led to this match.
Yep.
$15,000 slam match.
Yeah, it was... yeah, so he gets the money and the bag and pretty much gets the body slam on Stud. But it was my favorite because he took the money from the duffel bag. And he just started throwing the money out to the crowd.
And it was real money.
That was real money, yeah. I have a buddy, Eric, who's actually there, and he says he claims he has money from that match as a kid. So that's cool.
Oh, man.
I like to see that. Yeah, probably just a dollar bill, but still. Speaking of Andre's afro, for a white dude, he had a kicking afro. Like that was like Angela Davis type shit, man. He could have put a pick to that, some soul glow. He could have been all right with that.
You know, he was putting
Pam
Grier's fro and Foxy Brown to shame.
Pam Grier's fro was tight though. It wasn't as big as Angela Davis.
It was perfect.
She was fucking perfect. Big ass, big thighs, big head,
titties of hers.
She could have got it, man.
Yeah,
she probably did get it.
She probably did get it. 100. Remember when she was in that movie with Steven Seagal? I was like, oh man, even old Pam Grier can get it.
She was in Scream, Blackula, Scream, one of my favorite movies.
Was she really?
Oh, that's racist. Okay,
it's the name of a movie. It's not racist.
No, Blackula was a black exploitation horror movie. I know that, but she was in a Blackula movie.
Scream, Blackula, Scream. What are you trying to insinuate, Tony?
You insinuating that Blackula was screaming, okay? Why would you scream?
Ring the bell.
That's the name of the movie, Scream, Blackula, Scream.
Ring the bell.
Okay, you made a freaking pie reference. Now you're making Blackula jokes, okay?
Wait, come on. It's a movie, man. We're friends.
Can't we all just get along?
And then she just grouped me in with SD Jones because we're both of African-American descent, okay?
Come on, man. No. It was just a joke. We're friends. We're having a good time here tonight. All right, come WrestleMania on.
WrestleMania 1. Dave, hey, pull your sheet down. It's showing, okay?
Pull your sheet down.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. We're going to have a good night.
Oh, it's great. All right, your next match was Wendi Richter versus Leilani Kai for the Women's Championship. Arguably the... one of the worst 6-minute matches I've ever seen in my entire life.
I thought it was a good match.
You liked it?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Leilani Kai's work when she was with Judy Martin. They were the
I'm a big fan of Wendi Richter and Cyndi Lauper.
She was in that the Glamour Girls, right? With Judy Martin?
Remember when she was.
The Bomb Angels, right? All right, hold on. Man. Who
the bleached hair.
All right, hold on. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, what's your name, where you from?
Hey, fellas, it's Mark in Detroit. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, bro?
Hey, look, listening to the show, and I had to call in and tag team with Tony C there to kind of defend him a little bit.
All right.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. I'll make a run. I'm a Hoosier fan.
We're having a good time. We're friends. Everything's
all right. I know, guys. I'm just being a little bit of a goof here. I couldn't call in a little bit earlier when it was a little bit more poignant when you guys were talking stuff, so I just had to try to call in for a little bit and be a little bit of comic relief, but One of the things I'm going to say is that I think there was a point that was made earlier. Phil, I think you made it about the whole thing about Hogan's opponents in when he, you know, during his first run in the 80s with the WWF, you know, with Orndorff and a lot of these guys who were a heck of a lot better than him, which really doesn't say much because Doink the Clown was a lot better than him. But
hold on now.
Are you talking about
Doink the Clown? Well, Tony C, Doink the Clown was a pretty good wrestler.
Doink the Clown was on this card.
Now,
Tony, I had to make that concession so I can lull them in. This is part about, you know, got sucker in the baby faces here, bro. Okay. Anyway, hey, look, the whole point is this, is that when you have a guy like Hogan who, Tony, bear with me, is relatively one-dimensional, and this also applies to guys like John Cena, for example.
Oh, no, he's got more moves than Cena now. Cena only has five, maybe six at the most.
My little toe has moves, more moves than John Cena. Anyway,
exactly.
Now, anyway, getting back to what I was saying, so let me be on point here. I don't want to belabor the point. Okay? Is that you kind of have to put better guys in with... you know, guys like Hulk Hogan, to carry them through a match, because otherwise you run the risk of damaging his character and his view within the people. You know what I mean? So you kind of have to...
With the NWO, you know, things didn't really pan out too well for Hogan with the NWO, you know?
Exactly, because...
What didn't happen with the NWO?
Hold on.
Agrees that the NWO wasn't really that great of a gimmick after the first couple months.
Hold on, Tony, I think I can address that for him if you give me just a little bit of leeway here.
Okay.
Getting back to what I just said is that you have to protect your investment in people like Hogan, John Cena, whomever. So you have to put them in with people that can carry them and make them look good. That's part of working together in a match, if you want to break kayfabe for just a moment here. Okay, the problem with the NWO is that with Hogan, he was so beaten down and weak at that point, you know, because of his age, his time in the ring, and, you know, facing the bigger guys, because he was a bigger guy himself, so his body's beat down, so his weaknesses show a lot more.
Especially during the Dungeon of Doom, too.
Oh, good Lord.
That was an NWO Hogan, that was the end of Hulkamania in WCW. Well, when you put him in there with people like Goldberg only has freaking five moves too. He had to carry Gold, and he gonna have a six. He got the squash Hogan. That's basically what it is. Okay, we put you in with Goldberg. Goldberg's gonna squash you.
But that's what they had to though,
Tony, because. You know, everyone gets squashed at some point or another. It has happened to Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Steve Austin.
Who squashed Shawn Michaels in his teeth? Austin didn't squash him, and that match was a good, 15-17 minutes.
Okay, well, yeah.
That back, too.
Yeah, well, a little bad back.
You know what? Okay, you know, I'll take my Rice Krispies on that one. Thank you. I'll take the correction on that one, but... You know, there were a few guys that have been squashed that have been major players, and they still did okay. You're going to have to take a squash. You're going to have to take a squash at some point, Tony. You and I both know it.
Hogan Giant went 20-plus minutes. You got Hogan Piper went longer than him and Goldberg. Him and Goldberg's match was the shortest one, and that's because Goldberg couldn't do anything. You see what I'm saying? People like to blame Hogan. If you put him in there with a guy that has more than five moves, the match is going to be 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Look at it this way, too, Tony. Like, the examples that you brought up, at the point that he wrestled them, Andre had already been wrestling for, like, 60 years by the point that he wrestled him.
I'm talking about the giant, WCW.
Oh, well... He still had more gift than Goldberg, but
made him look foolish with hitting him with the championship belt, and the Giant was knocked out for like 15 minutes while they celebrated in the ring. So how was that helping the Giant too for Hogan?
Well, you see, the second time
they went 20 minutes, that sold out too.
Well, the problem with the Giant was that, you know, or Paul Weiss or whatever you want to call him now, is that he was I think he came off to me like later on after his initial introduction as the son of Andre, as he was being viewed as a goof. You know what I mean? He was viewed no different than Evad Sullivan.
Kurgan.
You know, for example. But you feel me? So you can't really, I don't know if you can really bring, Big Show or the Giant into this in that way. But, you know, even if you think about it, though, is that even the Big Slow has shown a propensity for being able to include or incorporate new moves into his moveset.
But now,
they may not be flashy and all that, but I mean, getting back to what you were saying about the whole thing with Hogan is that, you know, even if you factor in like with Roddy Piper, you know, Piper can carry a match. He can work with the guy.
That was my point. You can guys like Orndorff. Yeah. And Piper, yeah. and guys like that, even go a little further down the line, even guys like Curt Hennig, they could have had a bit of a title run. That was my point. I mean, they all had mouthpieces, too.
Piper and Hogan's matches in WCW weren't that bad. You know, they weren't
Yeah, because Piper was carrying Hogan.
Piper can go.
Well, you mean, also look at it this way, too, is that match, those series of matches really made me cringe when I first saw them because I didn't want to see those two wrestle. You know, been there, done that. But it struck me as more of, if you guys remember when WCW had the, Night of Legends type matches, like they used to hold down in Memphis, where they would bring in guys like, I think it was Baron Von Raschke and somebody else against Thunderbolt Patterson and Brad Armstrong, who was filling in for his old man at the time. You know, those legend-style matches. That's what it struck me as. There was no attraction to me for that.
My whole thing is, and on this network, when you come at Hollywood Hogan or Hulk Hogan, your wrestler of choice better be a 5-star ring general. I mean, he better be a 5-star Hall of Famer with no holes in his gimmick or whatever he did. Don't come with a mid-carder or anybody like that. Because
Tony C., what about when Billy Kidman beat Hogan?
Oh, okay, hold on.
We're getting way off topic. I really want to finish WrestleMania 1.
We need to get back to WrestleMania 1. But anyway, Billy Kidman did beat Hulk Hogan. So, but
did Hulk Hogan beat him? Did Hogan beat him? I remember the match.
WrestleMania 1, guys.
No, now you want to go back to WrestleMania 1 as you bring up Billy Kidman. No. Okay, well, Kidman beat him. Hogan beat him back.
Hey, tag partner, let's take this back to Facebook because I want to hear what the rest of their WrestleMania bit is. But I think this is a good Facebook topic for, you know, that way we can get everybody else involved on the topic too, and maybe even have a little hilarity to it.
Yeah, you know what? Let's start a thread on the Facebook page. Either Double J, Tony C, one of you guys do it and start it up, and it'll be a topic on the podcast eventually. I just want to finish WrestleMania 1 and get through this and. You know, call it a day because you know, I've gotten my Hulk Hogan fill the last month and a half. So
yeah, and
you all look. Let me tell you something. As long as I'm breathing air in my lungs and people try to jab at him, I gotta go back at him.
Tony C. I know we're friends again and all, but I think you're breathing a little too much air right now. We need to get back to WrestleMania 1.
Yeah,
and he's the star of WrestleMania 1.
That's right.
Not just him, but Mr. T, Piper, and Orndorff.
Of course. Thunder Lips. Let's go.
All right. Mark, anything else before we let you go?
No, go ahead and let me go. I'll talk to you guys soon. And Tony, I'll talk to you on Facebook about Hogan, bro.
No problem, my man.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Nowhere to find me.
Mark, good looking out, man. Thank you so much for calling in, brother.
Yep. Bye.
Peace.
Double J, as you know on Facebook. All right. Tony C, are you done? Are you done advocating Hulk Hogan tonight? Can we finish this? can I finish my show?
It's not me.
Tony, can you calm down a little bit so we can get to... main event?
As long as you pull your sheet down, I'm good.
All right. Whoa, wait a second. That's not cool, Tony C.
All right.
Dave, you in a rush? You got another meeting to go to tonight or something?
No.
Whoa. Wait, what is that supposed to mean, Tony? Tony C. Vonnie? Am I going to call you that?
Tony C. Vonnie, it's awesome.
Oh, that was a good one.
That
Tony
was good.
Tony C. Vonnie.
Tony C. Vonnie.
Dave, well, since you called me that, go straight to hell.
Megan Jannetty. Megan Jannetty and Tony C. Vonnie.
Whoa. Wait. Don't tell me to go to hell, Tony C. Vonnie.
Straight to hell.
Anyway, WrestleMania 1 main event.
Your main event of the evening. Can we get a bell, Phil, please? All right. That's your main event bell of the evening. Hulk Hogan and Mr. T with the girlfriend killer in the corner, Jimmy Superfly Snooker. Teaming up with the rowdy one, Mr. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, the master of the pile driver.
And the ace cowboy Bob Orton.
That's right. Still wearing the arm cast to this day. We saw it. Yeah, we saw him at that show a few weeks ago. My man was still rocking.
Rocking the arm cast.
Yep. Still keeping the gimmick.
It was like father, like son.
Like I
always in gimmick.
No, always in gimmick. Like I mentioned before, your referees were Muhammad Ali and Pat Patterson. Your guest timekeeper was Liberace, which my brother George was here.
he was a good Batman villain.
He was a good Batman villain, yes. And let's see, you had Billy Martin as your timekeeper, your ring announcer.
See, Dave, you're rubbing off on Phil.
See, that's why we can't have nice things.
What is that supposed to mean, Tony C. I know you've been kind of disrespectful this night. We're trying to mend things. Yesterday was a joke. What's going on, man?
It's all in love. It's all in love. All
right.
I don't know, but let's continue on, man.
All right. So, I mean, we know the build-up. We know the thing with Piper and T got real heated. A couple of movie sets. Taping. At one point, Piper bum-rushes the A-Team set and gets into it with him. That was pretty cool.
I never seen that. I gotta check that out.
He tried to run up on Clubber Lang for real.
Yeah, man. While he was doing the A team, he ran up on him. Right up on him while he was sitting in the director's chair. Man, he said no pork, just beef. Rolled up on him and was like getting in his face.
To be quite honest, you know, Mr. T and Hulk Hogan kind of disrespected the wrestling business this night.
Yeah, you see.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, and again, watching this again for, you know, as an adult and then watching all this stuff on the network, Mr. T was not very sound.
He was kind of sound. I did a little research on T. He had a high school wrestling background. So that's why he was able to do some things in the ring, but, you know, he was still a bit sloppy because this was his first time in the ring. But
Pat Patterson was in charge of making sure T didn't kill anybody in the ring, apparently. and if you don't learn something besides a reach around from Pat Patterson, then
that's it. He loves the reach around, go around.
Yeah, if you don't know about the go behind or the reach around.
For the bump and grind.
For the bump and grind. We don't need no bump and grind. But anyway.
Pat Patterson loves bringing up the rear, JR said.
He sure does. So he was in charge of making sure T didn't kill anybody. Piper puts up this front like he, you know, he's trying to protect the business. Like he tells people now, I was trying to protect the business. And, I don't want guys coming in here that, you know, taking my thunder that I brought into this 10, 20 years ago, and this guy's going to walk in one night and walk out with it. I kind of don't like the way that sounded from Piper, even though I could see his point. It's like when you have a new, like when you're working at your job, no matter what you do, and you got that one guy that comes in, and he's the new guy, and he's like, you know, not that he's kissing ass or anything, but he's walking in, doing everything right, not slacking off, not being a herb and like, you know, doing the big thing. And you're like, oh, what are you, the teacher's pet? What are you, the boss's friend and whatever? And, you know, trying to take my thunder. This is what Piper.
His thunder lips.
Thunder lips. Looking at T.
Ultimate male, the ultimate meatball.
That's right. Looking at T.
Ultimate male. Okay, Dave, don't go there.
I said the ultimate male, and then I said the ultimate meatball. I'm just quoting the film, Tony.
I got a Thunder Lips figure right here sitting in front of me. He's awesome looking with the
Thunder Lips baby.
In the flesh, baby. That's right.
Ripping off Rhodes even then.
Right. Well, everybody did.
No. You know, who was to think that the villains of Rocky III would be the biggest faces of WrestleMania?
It's awesome.
That's true.
It's awesome.
And Rocky III was like, what, like 2 or 3 years before WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Yeah,
83. So, you know... 84,
83.
It wasn't a recent thing. Hulkamania was still running wild. T was more popular than ever with the A-Team. I don't know about DC Cab, but A-Team was doing great.
Yeah. DC Cab was pretty funny, though. All right, so the match... Let's see. So the match, you know, I mean, I love Piper's entrance of obviously the bagpipes. You know, Piper and T trade blows midway through the match. All four men start brawling in the ring. Again, Muhammad Ali actually punched Piper in an attempt to restore order. He swung and missed, thank God.
Fucking punchy bastard.
Yeah, he was like out of his mind, batshit crazy.
I love the stare down between T and Piper at the beginning where they're just slapping each other.
Yeah, that was cool. I enjoyed that. Again, I'm not saying T was terrible. You know, just again watching it now and seeing and like listening to these guys talk about it the way it went down. I see their issues with Mr. T. I see all the flaws. You know what I'm saying? So you know they trade blows. All four men brawling in the ring. Again, Muhammad Ali takes a swing at Piper. Thank God he missed because he legitimately swung at Piper's face. After the match order was restored, Piper and Orndorff had a huge offensive advantage. Orndorff locked up Hogan in a full Nelson at one point, Hogan looked like he was struggling for a second. Orndorff's not that big on the arms, as big as Hogan is, obviously.
But he was still ripped.
No, he was jacked, dude. He was jacked.
Yeah, he was jacked.
But he had Hogan in that full Nelson, and that was probably like the most uncompromising position of Hogan for the night. Orton climbed to the top rope, attempting to knock out Hogan. Instead, he mistakenly hits Mr. Wonderful. Lowers the boom on him with the arm cast, and Hogan obviously pins him to win the match in frustration. Piper knocks out the other official that gets in the ring, Pat Patterson, and they go head backstage. So,
Piper and Orton storm out. They left Orndorff in the ring.
Which leaves Mr. Wonderful in the ring and a face for at least a year until he does the big heel turn. We'll get into that in a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months.
And Tony C, you got to admit, you know, Hogan got a cheap win at WrestleMania. For this.
Well, you know, win is a win, baby, by hook or by crook. But now with all this,
not really.
Now with all this being said, you can go ahead and announce your number one wrestling guy.
Yeah, Phil, should I?
The crowd wants to know, the fans want to know, and more importantly, our broadcast brethren wants to know. So I mean we don't have to do a show about it, but you could tell people who your favorite is, and they'll hold that to you now when you make arguments and stuff. So go ahead, you know.
Well, I don't know, you know, I was thinking about it, and you know, my favorite wrestler actually was Hulk Hogan, but you know, after all this talk, I'm having second thoughts. I don't think he's really number one.
Well, that's fine.
Is it Jeff Hardy?
Who's your number two?
I think like Ric Flair. He was better than Hogan.
Oh, you're a Flair mark. That's where it goes.
We don't like that word mark on this show.
You know, Flair.
Flair fan. Flair fan.
That's right. You know, I'm a Flair fan.
You know,
guy who never put Lex Luger over. Okay.
He doesn't have to put. Are you serious? See, don't get me started.
Hogan never put over Lex Luger. What
yes,
are you talking
he did.
About?
He did. 19, yes, he did. August 4th, 1997.
He won it back like a couple days later.
It don't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Don't matter.
Not
he
really
put him
putting
over.
Anybody over.
Nah, he put him over.
Yes, that is.
On my birthday.
That's a cheap way of putting things over. Hulk Hogan's a cheap wrestler.
No, he's not. You're out of your mind. Will you stop?
No, I'm serious now. You know, we've been talking about
Flair is a cheap wrestler. He never put Luger over.
Bones about
he never even put his best friend over, Arn Anderson.
Hulk Hogan, you know, one with the friggin' Orton, you know, hitting with the cast. You know, he used to beat the shit out of Sherry. What else? He's such a cheap wrestler.
Flair was cheap. He would always he couldn't win without the horseman.
You know, frankly, Tony C.
Yeah,
I don't understand why you're a Hulk Hogan fan, but I'm starting to get.
I don't understand why you're a Flair fan because you try to be dirty
with a lot of the comments you've been saying, and especially last night. I think you should apologize to our listeners and also to me.
I'm not going to apologize for anything. You're a Flair mark, and you want to call Hollywood dirty. And Flair is the named himself the dirtiest player in the game. He has more count out losses than anybody.
And what about his cheap wins?
What cheap wins?
First of all, WrestleMania, and what was there WrestleMania 2? He made sure that there was no count outs.
Hey, Dave.
He didn't even pin Bundy.
Hey, Dave.
And Bundy had him down for the 3 count, but he had to go for the 5.
Let's talk about Bash at the Beach 94.
No, let's not.
Right here in Orlando.
Yeah, another cheap win by Hogan.
And let's talk about the Halloween Havoc at Starrcade when we retired. And then let's fast forward.
Yeah, he had
the Clash of the Champions.
Mr. T being the referee.
Let's talk about Clash of the Champions when we beat them. Then let's talk about how we beat them up on Nitro.
Ric Flair beat them at Clash of Champions.
No, in 96. We beat them.
Beat him. You weren't in the ring.
Hey, what about my best Flair moment of all freaking time? Fall Brawl 97 with Curt Hennig took that door and slammed it on your boy. Bam!
Hey, and what about when Flair beat him in the Age in the Cage match? Was that the Halloween Havoc? With the rubber car? Yeah.
He beat him at, you mean Uncensored 99.
Yeah, Flair won that match.
I know he did, but he lost at Super Bowl.
He won Flair and Square.
Super Bowl 8. No, he didn't. He won with the tire iron. David Flair got the tire iron.
Between, you know, Flair winning with the tire iron and Hogan hitting Flair with the brass knucks.
Hogan didn't hit Flair with brass knucks.
Having Mr. T in his back pocket.
Hogan hit Flair. His son tasered him with the taser gun at Super Bowl 9.
What about Flair and Anderson getting that win back-to-back Nitros? You know, Hulk Hogan isn't all that he's cracked up to be. I think, you know what? You are.
Flair is an Isis. Flair is an Isis.
All right. Done. Done.
You know, I'm kind of ashamed of you, Tony C.
All right, done.
And I'm ashamed of you, you Flair woo mark.
Well, Flair's the man. And to be the
in
man.
In your world. Man. And he beat the man quite often, more often than the man beat him.
Yeah, by cheap, cheap ways.
It doesn't matter. A win is a win.
And not at Uncensored.
Super Bowl. All
right. Tony, see any closing comments before we let you go so we can wrap this up?
Just want to say I appreciate you guys having me on, and we should do a show on, you guys should do a show on Fall Brawl 97.
I think that was an epic moment. Keep the Ring 93.
I know that
Hulk Hogan's greatest losses just to prove to you.
Oh, Jesus.
That Hulk Hogan ain't all that.
All right, well, we'll catch up with Tony C this weekend on a rant. I'm sure we're going to be jumping on, and he'll be jumping on with us, and we have
the 16, huckster. That's what it's all about. The
16
huckster.
Hours of programming on the rant this weekend. Tony C, as always, thank you so much. Thank you for taking.
Thank you, fellas. Good time, man.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you during the week then.
And that.
All right.
All right.
What a buffoon! What a clod!
Will you stop?
No.
All right. Let's start wrapping this up.
And he didn't even apologize.
He He's not going to you.
You know what? You know, whenever I see that guy, I'm going to put on that Hulk Hogan fist war bonnet or whatever it is. I'm going to headbutt him in that thick black skull of his.
All right.
Show him what a real wrestler is all about.
We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Every week on The Rant, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, rantemradio.com. We are a Shining Wizards production, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, entertainment here. Wonderful, wonderful shows up there, including besides the Shining Wizards. Shout out to the Midnight Jury, Neckbreaker Podcast, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Fallen Angels, Apex Radio, The Wolfman, Jack Foley, Just Incredible Pro Wrestling 101. Of course, on The Rant, you got The Rant. You have The Wrestling Call-In Show. What are you reading? The Lex Experience. All on The Rant. Go to rantemradio.com. Shout out to Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, The Bloke Show, Mega Powers Radio, NXT Cast. Shout out to Nixon in the ring in chat room tonight. Metal Thunder Radio, Tattoos and Touchdowns, and Uncle Eddie and the Ham Radio Show. Dave, any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, there was the FU New Blood. You know, I'm saying FU Tony Schiavone.
All right.
Good night.
All right, we want to thank Uptown Georgie for calling in, our buddy Rage, Tony Z from the Shining Wizards, Java Junkie, thank you so much for calling in tonight, and Tony C.
I'm not thanking him.
And everybody in the chat room, you guys are fantastic tonight. Fantastic. Good looking out. WrestleMania party at my house this weekend. Who's coming through?
I'm coming.
You're coming. Don't forget to bring my banner, by the way.
Oh, I have it in the car.
Awesome. Awesome. And bring me some reading material for the next couple shows. Guys, big shows coming up this weekend. We'll be back on The Rant at 2 p.m. this Sunday. Join all the shows. And that's about it. Until next week, for the Mega Powers, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, wishing you all adieu. And we'll see you next week.
Peace.